Krishna, who is known as Govinda, is the Supreme Godhead. He has an eternal, blissful spiritual body. He is the origin of all. He has no other origin, and he is the prime cause of all causes. The spiritual praise of transcendental pastimes of Krishna is portrayed in the second verse. The super excellent station of Krishna, which is known as Gokula, has thousands of petals and a corolla like that of a lotus sprouted from a part of his infinitary aspect, the whirl of the leaves being the actual abode of Krishna. The whirl of that transcendental lotus is the realm wherein dwells Krishna. It is a hexagonal figure, the abode of the indwelling, predominated and predominating aspect of the Absolute. Like a diamond, the central supporting figure of self-luminous Krishna stands as the transcendental source of all potencies. The holy name, consisting of 18 transcendental letters, is manifested in a hexagonal figure with sixfold divisions. The world of that eternal realm Gokula is the hexagonal abode of Krishna. Its petals are the abodes of gopis, who are part and parcel of Krishna, to whom they are most lovingly devoted and are similar in essence. The petals shine beautifully like so many walls. The extended leaves of that lotus are the garden-like dhamma, which is the spiritual abode of Sri Radhika, the most beloved of Krishna. The surrounding external plane of Gokula is described in this verse. There is a mysterious quadrangular place named Svetadvipa surrounding the outskirts of Gokula. Svetadvipa is divided into four parts on all sides. The abode of Vasudeva, Sankarsana, Pradyumna and Aniruddha are separately located in each of these four parts. These four divided abodes are enveloped by the fourfold human requirements such as piety, wealth, passion and liberation, as also by the four Vedas, Rig Veda, Samaveda, Yajur and Atharva, which deal with the mantra and which are the basis of achievements of the fourfold mundane requirements. 10 tridents are fixed in the 10 directions, including the zenith and nadir. The 8 directions are decorated with the 8 jewels of Mahapadma, Padma, Shankha, Makara, Kachapa, Mukunda, Kunda and Nila. There are 10 protectors, Dikpalas, of the 10 directions in the form of mantra. The associates of the hues of blue, yellow, red, and white, and the extraordinary potences bearing the names of Vimala, etc., shine on all sides.
The Lord of Gokula is the transcendental supreme Godhead, the own self of eternal ecstasies. He is the superior of all superiors and is busily engaged in the enjoyments of the transcendental realm and has no association with his mundane potency. Krishna never consorts with this illusory energy. Still, her connection is not entirely cut off from the Absolute Truth. When he intends to create the material world, the amorous pastime in which he engages by consorting with his own spiritual chit potency, Rama, by casting his glance at the deluding energy in the shape of sending his time energy, is an auxiliary activity. The secondary process of association with Maya is described. Ramadevi, the spiritual chit potency, beloved consort of the Supreme Lord, is the regulatrix of all entities. The divine plenary portion of Krishna creates the mundane world. At creation, there appears a divine halo of the nature of his own subjective portion, Swamsha. This halo is divine Shambhu, the masculine symbol or manifested emblem of the Supreme Lord. This halo is the dim twilight reflection of the supreme eternal effulgence. This masculine symbol is the subjective portion of divinity who functions as progenitor of the mundane world, subject to the supreme regulatrix, Niyati. The conceiving potency is regarded in regard to mundane creation, makes her appearance out of the supreme regulatrix. She is Maya, the limited, non-absolute, apara potency, the symbol of mundane feminine productivity. The intercourse of these two brings forth the faculty of perverted cognition, the reflection of the seed of procreative desire of the Supreme Lord. All offspring of the consort of the great Lord Maheshwara of this mundane world are of the nature of the embodiment of the mundane masculine and feminine generative organs. The person embodying the material causal principle, which is the great Lord of this mundane world, Maheshwara Shambhu, in the form of male generating organ, is joined to his female consort, the limited energy, Maya, as the efficient causal principle. The Lord of the world, Mahavishnu, is manifest in him by his subjective portion in the form of his glands.
The Lord of the mundane world, Mahavishnu, possesses thousands of heads, eyes, hands. He is the source of thousands of avatars in his thousands of thousands of subjective portions. He is the creator of thousands of individual souls. The same Mahavishnu is spoken of by the name Narayan in this mundane world. From that eternal person has sprung the vast expanse of water of the spiritual causal ocean. The subjective portion of Sankarsana, who abides in the Parvyoma, the above supreme Purusha, with thousands of subjective portions, reposes in a state of divine sleep, Yoga Nidra, in the waters of the spiritual causal ocean. The spiritual seeds of Sankarsana, existing in the pores of skin of Mahavishnu, are born as so many golden sperms. These sperms are covered with five great elements. The same Mahavishnu entered into each universe as his own separate subjective portions. The divine portions that entered into each universe are possessed of his majestic extensions. Namely, they are the eternal universal soul, Mahavishnu, possessing thousands of heads. The same Mahavishnu created Vishnu from his left limb, Brahma, the first progenitor of beings, from his right limb, and from the space between his two eyebrows, Shambhu, the divine masculine manifested halo.
The function of Shambhu in relation to Jivas is that this universe enshrining the mundane egotistic principle has originated from Shambhu. Thereupon, this same great personal Godhead, assuming the threefold forms of Vishnu, Prajapati, and Shambhu, entering into the mundane universe, plays the pastimes of preservation, creation, and destruction of this world. This pastime is contained in the mundane world. Hence it being perverted, the Supreme Lord, identical with Mahavishnu, prefers to consort with the goddess Yoganidra, the constituent of his own spiritual chit potency, full of the ecstatic trance of eternal bliss appertaining to his own divine personality. When Vishnu, lying in the ocean of milk, wills to create the universe, a golden lotus springs from his navel pit. The golden lotus with its stem is the abode of Brahma, representing Brahmaloka or Satyaloka. Before their conglomeration, the primary elements in their nation-state remained originally separate entities. Non-application of the conglomerating process is the cause of their separate existence. Divine Mahavishnu, primal Godhead, through association with his own spiritual chit potency, moved Maya, and by the application of the conglomerating principle, created those different entities in their state of cooperation. And after that, he himself consorted with Yoganidra by way of his eternal dalliance and his spiritual chit potency. By conglomerating all those separate entities, he manifested the innumerable mundane universes, and himself entered into the inmost recess of every extended conglomerate, Virad Vigraha. At that time, those jivas who had lain dormant during the cataclysm were awakened.
The same jiva is eternal and is for eternity and without a beginning joined to the Supreme Lord by the tie of an eternal kinship. He is transcendental spiritual potency. The divine lotus which springs from the navel pit of Vishnu is in every way related by the spiritual tie with all soul and is origin of four-faced Brahma, versed in the four Vedas. On coming out of the lotus, Brahma, being guided by the divine potency, turned his mind to the act of creation under the impulse of previous impressions. But he could see nothing but darkness in every direction. Then the goddess of learning, Saraswati, the divine consort of the Supreme Lord, said thus to Brahma, who saw nothing but gloom in all directions. O Brahma, this mantra, Klim Krishnaya Govindaya Gopijana Vallabhaya Swaha, will assuredly fulfill your heart's desire. O Brahma, do thou practice spiritual association by means of this mantra, then all your desires will be fulfilled.
Brahma, being desirous of satisfying Govinda, practiced the cultural acts for Krishna in Gauloka, the lord of Svetadipa. For a long time, his meditation ran thus. There exists a divine lotus of 1,000 petals, augmented by millions of filaments in the transcendental land of Gauloka. On its wall, there exists a great divine throne on which is seated Sri Krishna, the form of eternal effulgence of transcendental bliss, playing on his divine flute resonant with the divine sound. with his lotus mouth. He is worshipped by his amorous milkmaids with their respective subjective portions and extension, and also by his external energy who stayed outside embodying all mundane qualities. Then Gayatri, mother of Vedas, being thus made manifest, imparted by this divine sound of the flute of Sri Krishna, entered into the mouth of Brahma, born from himself, though through his 8 ear holes. The lotus-born Brahma, having received the Gayatri, sprung from the flute song of Sri Krishna, attained the status of the twice-born, having been initiated by the supreme primal preceptor, Godhead himself. Enlightened by the recollection of that Gayatri, embodying the three Vedas, Brahma became acquainted with the expansion of ocean of truth. Thus he worships Sri Krishna, the essence of all Vedas, with this hymn. I worship Govinda, the Prema Lord, the first progenitor who is tending the cows, yielding all desire in abodes built with the spiritual gems, surrounded by millions of purpose trees, always served with great reverence and affection by the hundreds of thousands of Lakshmi's gopis. I worship Govinda, the Prema Lord, who is adept in playing on his flute, with blooming eyes like lotus petals, with head decked with peacock feather, with a figure of beauty tinged with the hue of blue clouds, and his unique loveliness charming millions of cupids.
I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, round whose neck is swinging a garland of flowers beautified with the moon locket, whose two hands are adorned with the flute and jeweled ornaments, who always revels in pastimes of love, whose graceful threefold bending forms of Srimasundara is eternally manifest. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, whose transcendental form is full of bliss, truth, substantiality, and is thus full of the most dazzling splendor. Each of the limbs of the transcendental figure poses in himself the full-fledged functions of all the organs, and eternally sees, maintains, and manifests the infinite universe, both spiritual and mundane. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, who is inaccessible to the Vedas, but obtainable by pure and unalloyed devotion of the soul, who is without a second, who is not subject to decay, is without a beginning, whose form is endless, who is the beginning and the eternal Purusa, yet he is a person possessing the beauty of blooming youth. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, only the tip of the toe of whose lotus feet is approached by the yogis who aspire after the transcendental and betake themselves to pranayama by drilling the respiration, or by the jnanis, who try to find out the non-differentiated Brahman by the process of elimination of the mundane extending over thousands of millions of years. One more. He is undifferentiated entity, as there is no distinction between potency and the possessor thereof. In his work of creation of millions of worlds, his potency remains inseparable. All the universes exist in him, and he is present in his fullness in every one of the atoms that are scattered throughout the universe at one and the same time. Such is the primeval Lord whom I adore.
The primeval Lord, in whose praise men who are imbued with devotion sing the mantra suktas told by the Vedas, by gaining their appropriate beauty, greatness, thrones, conveyances, and ornaments. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, residing in his own realm Goloka with Radha, resembling his own spiritual figure, the embodiment of the ecstatic potency possessed of the 64 artistic qualities, activities, in the company of her confidates, Sakhis, embodiments of the extensions of her bodily form, permeated and vitalized by his ever-blissful spiritual rasa.
Page 74.
I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, who is Shyamasundara, Krishna himself, with inconceivable innumerable attributes, whom the pure devotees see in their heart, in the heart of hearts, with the eye of devotion tinged with the save of love. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, who manifested himself personally as Krishna and the different avatars in the world in the forms of Rama, Narasimha, Vamana, etc., as his subjective portions. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, whose effulgence is the source of the non-differentiated Brahman mentioned in the Upanishads, being differentiated from the infinity of glories of the mundane universe, appears as the indivisible, infinite, limitless truth.
I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, who is the absolute substantive principle, being the ultimate entity in the form of the support of all existence, whose external potency embodies the threefold mundane qualities, namely sattva, rajas, and tamas, and diffuses the Vedic knowledge regarding the mundane world. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, whose glory ever triumphantly dominates the mundane world by the activity of his own pastimes being reflected in the mind of recollecting souls as the transcendental entity of ever-blissful cognitive rasa. Lowest of all is located Devi Dhamma, mundane world. Next above it is Mahesh Dhamma, abode of Mahesh. Above Mahesh Dhamma is placed Hari Dhamma, abode of Hari. And above them all is located Krishna's own realm named Goloka. I adore the primeval Lord Govinda, who has allotted their respective authorities to the rulers of those graded realms. The external potency Maya, who is of the nature of the shadow of the Chit potency, is worshipped by all people as Durga, the creating, preserving, and destroying agency of this mundane world. I adore the primeval Lord Govinda, in accordance with whose will Durga conducts herself. Just as milk is transformed into curd by the action of acids, but yet the effect curd is neither same as nor different from its cause, namely milk, so I adore the primeval Lord Govinda, of whom the state of Shambhu is a transformation for the performance of the work of destruction.
The light of one candle being communicated to the other candles, although it burns separately in them, is the same in its quality. I adore the primeval Lord Govinda, who exhibits himself equally in the same mobile manner in his various manifestations. I adore the primeval Lord Govinda, who, assuming his own great subjective form, who bears the name of Shesha, replete with all accommodating potency and reposing in the causal ocean with the infinity of the world, in the pores of his hair, enjoys creative sleep, Yoga Nidra. Brahma and other lords of the mundane worlds, appearing from the pores of hair of Mahavishnu, remain alive as long as the duration of one exhalation of the latter, Mahavishnu. I adore the primeval Lord Govinda, of whose subjective personality Mahavishnu is the portion of portion. I adore the primeval Lord Govinda, from whom the separated subjective portion Brahma receives his power for the regulation of the mundane world, just as the sun manifests some portion of his own light in all the effulgent gems that bear the names of Suryakanta, etc. I adore the primeval Lord Govinda, whose lotus feet are always held by Ganesh upon the pair of tumuli protruding from his elephant head in order to obtain power for his function of destroying all the obstacles on the path of progress of the three worlds.
The three worlds are composed of the nine elements: fire, earth, ether, water, air, direction, time, soul, and mind. I adore the primeval Lord Govinda, from whom they originate, in whom they exist, and into whom they enter at the time of the universal cataclysm. The sun, who is the king of all the planets, full of infinite effulgence, the image of the good soul, is as the eye of this world. I adore the primeval Lord Govinda, in pursuance of whose order the sun performs his journey mounting the wheel of time. I adore the primeval Lord Govinda, by whose conferred power are maintained the manifested potencies that are found to exist of all virtues, all vices, the Vedas, the penances, and all jivas, from Brahma to the meanest insect. I adore the primeval Lord Govinda, who burns up to their roots all fruitive activities of those who are imbued with devotion and impartially ordains for each the due enjoyment of the fruits of one's activities. Of all those who walk in the path of work, in accordance with the chain of their previously performed works, no less in the case of the tiny insect that bears the name of Indragopa than that of Indra, king of the Devas. I adore the primeval Lord Govinda, the meditators of whom, by meditating upon him, under the sway of wrath, amorous passion, natural friendly love, fear, parental affection, delusion, reverence, and willing service, attain to bodily forms befitting the nature of their contemplation.
I worship that transcendental seat known as Swetadweep, where, as loving consorts, the Lakshmis in their unalloyed spiritual essence practice the amorous service of the Supreme Lord Krishna as their only lover, where every tree is a transcendental purpose tree, where the soil is the purpose gem, all water is nectar, every word is a song, every gate is a dance, the flute is the favorite attendant, effulgence is full of transcendental bliss, and the supreme spiritual entities are all enjoyable and tasty, where numberless milk cows always emit transcendental oceans of milk, where there is eternal existence of transcendental time, who is ever present and without past or future, and hence is not subject to the quality of passing away even for the space of half a moment. That realm is known as Goloka only to a very few self-realized souls in this world. On hearing these hymns containing the essence of the truth, the Supreme Lord Krishna said to Brahma, "Brahma, if you experience the inclination to create offspring by being endowed with the real knowledge of the glory of Godhead, listen, my beloved, for me to this science set forth in the following 5 shlokas. When the pure spiritual experience is excited by means of cognition and service, bhakti, super excellent unalloyed devotion characterized by love for Godhead is awakened towards Krishna, the beloved of all souls. The highest devotion is attained by slow degrees by the method of constant endeavor for self-realization with the help of scriptural evidence, theistic conduct, and perseverance in practice. These preliminary practices of devotion, sadhana bhakti, are conducive to the realization of loving devotion. Loving devotion, in whom there is no superior well-being, who goes hand in hand with the attainment of the exclusive state of supreme bliss and who can lead to myself.
Abandoning all meritorious performances, serve me with faith. The realization will correspond to the nature of one's faith. The people of the world act ceaselessly in pursuance of some ideal. By meditating on me, by means of those deeds, one will obtain devotion characterized by love in the shape of the supreme service. Listen, O Vidhi, I am the seed, that is the fundamental principle of this world of animate and inanimate objects. I am Pradhana, the substance of matter. I am Prakriti, material cause, and I am Purusha, efficient cause. This fiery energy that belongs specially to the Brahman, that inheres in you, has also been conferred by me. It is by bearing this fiery energy that you regulate this phenomenal world of animate and inanimate objects.
So now we'll recite the Sanskrit in front of the deities for their pleasure. And that's in the blue book in the first, the very beginning, first tab. Jai Shri Shri Radha Madana Mohan, Jai Lakshmina Shrigadev, Jai Mahaprabhu. It's purifying to recite these even if we don't understand. We just read the translations and now we're just going to recite the actual hymn in its original language. Ishvaraha Parama Krishnaha Sachidananda Vigraha Anadi Radir Govindaha Sarvakarana Karanam Sahasra Patra Kamalang Gokulakyang Mahatpadam Tat Karnikarang Tadhama Tad Anantang Shasambhavam Karnikarang Mahadyantrang Shatkonam Vajrakilakam Shadanga Shatpadi Sthanam Prakritya Purushena Cha
Premananda Mahananda Rasena Vastitam Hiyat Jyoti Rupena Manuna Kama Bijena Sangatam Tatkinjalkang Tadangshanang Tatpatrani Shriyamapi Chaturasrang Tatparitaha Shweta Dvipakya Madbhutam Chaturasrang Chaturmurtesh Chaturdhama Chaturshkritam Chaturbhih Purusharthaischa Chaturbhir Hetubhirvritam Shulair Dashabhir Anadham Urdvadho Dikvidikshvapi Ashtabhir Nidhibir Jushtam Ashtabhik Siddhibhistatha Manu Rupaischa Dashabhir Dikpalaik Paritovritam Shamair Gauraischa Raktaischa Shuklaischa Parshadarshabhai Shobhitang Shaktibhistabhir Adbhutabhik Samantataha Evang Jyotirmayo Devaha Sadanandak Parat Paraha Atma Ramasya Tasyasti Prakritya Sanasamagamaha Mayaya Ramamanasya Naviyogasthaya Saha Atmana Ramayareme Tyaktakalang Sishrikshaya Niyatih Sarama Devi Tatpriya Tadvashantada Talingang Bhagavan Shambhur Jyoti Rupak Sanatanaha Yayonik Sapara Shaktihi Kamo Bijang Mahadharehe Linga Yonyatmika Jata Ima Maheshwari Prajaha Shaktiman Purushak Soyang Linga Rupi Maheshwaraha Tasminna Virabhu Linge Mahavishnur Jagatpatihi Sahasra Shirsha Purushaha Sahasrakshak Sahasrapat Sahasra Bahur Vishvatma Sahasrangshak Sahasrasuhu Narayanak Bhagavan Apasthasmat Sanatanat Avirasit Karanarno Nidhik Sankarshanatmakaha Yoga Nidrangatas Tasmin Sahasrangshak Swayang Mahan Tad Roma Bilajaleshu Bijang Sankarshanasyacha Haimanyandani jatani mahabhuta vritani tu Pratyandam evam ekangshad vishati swayam Sahasramurdha vishvatma mahavishnuk sanatanaha Bamangad asrijad vishnung dakshinangad prajapatim Jyotirlinga mayang shambhung kurchadeshad avasrijat Ahankaratmakang vishvang tasmaretad vyajayata Atatais tribidhair veshair lilam udvahatakila Yoga nidra bhagavati tasya shri rivasangata Sisrikshayang tato nabhes tasya padmang vinirayau Tannalang hema nalinang brahmano lokamadbhutam Tatvani purvarudhani karanani parasparam Samavaya prayogaccha vibhinnani prithak prithak Chichchaktya sajjamanota bhagavan adipurushaha Yojayan mayaya devo yoga nidrama kalpayat Yojayitva tutanyeva pravivesha swayang guham Guhang pravishte tasmingstu jivatma pratibudyate Sanityo nityasambandhak prakritischa paraivasa Evaṁ sarvātma sambandhaṁ nābhyaṁ padmaṁ harer abhūt tatra brahmā bhavad bhūyaś chaturvedi chaturmukhaḥ sanjato bhagavat chaktya tatkālaṁ kila choditaḥ sisrikṣāyaṁ mṛtiṁ chakre purva saṁskāra saṁskṛtaḥ tadarśa kevalaṁ dvāntaṁ nānyat kim api sarvataḥ uvāca puratas tasmai tasya divya saraswati Kama Krishnaya Govinda He Gopi Jana Ityapi Vallabhaya Priya Vahner Mantrang Te Dasyati Priyam Tapastvang Tapa Etena Tapa Siddhir Bhavishyati Tate Pesa Suchirang Prinan Govinda Mavyayam Shweta Dvipa Pating Krishnang Golokastang Paratparam Prakritya Gunarupinya Rupinya Paryupasitam Sahasradala sampanne koti kinjal kabringhite Bhumishchintamani stattra karnikare mahasane Samasinang chidanandang jyoti rupang sanatanam Shabda brahma mayang venung vadayantang mukambuje
vilasini ganavritang swayek swayarang shaira bhishtutam atavenu ninadasya traimurti mayikatihi spuranti pravibeshashu mukabjani swayang bhubaha gayatrin gayatastasmad adhigatya sarojajaha sanskritashchari gununad vijatam agamattataha Praya prabuddho tavidhir vijnata tattva sagaraha tushtava veda sarena stotrena nina keshavam chintamani prakara sadma sukalpa vriksha lakshavrite susurabhira bhipalayantam lakshmi sahasra shatasang brahma sevyamanam Govindamadi Purushang Tamahang Bhajami Venum Kwananta Madavinda Tulaya Taksham Bharhabatang Samasitam Buddha Sundarangam Kandarpakoti Kamaniya Vishesha Shobhang Govindamadi Purushang Tamahang Bhajami Alola Chandra Kala Sadvana Malya Bangshi Ratnanga Dang Pranaya Keli Kala Vilasang Shamang Tribhanga Lalitang Niyata Prakashang Govinda Madi Purushang Tamahang Pajami Angani Yasya Shakalendriya Vritti Manti Pashyanti Panti Kalayanti Chirang Jaganti Ananda Chinmaya Sadujvala Vigrahasya Govinda Madi Purushang Tamahang Bhajami Advaitam Achyutam Anadim Anantarupam Adyang Purana Purushang Navayovanancha Videshu Durlabham Adurlabham Atma Bhaktau Govinda Madi Purushang Tamahang bhajami Pantastu koti shatavatsara sampragamyo Vayo ratapi manaso munipungavanam So pyasti yat prapadasimya vichintya tatve Govinda madi purushang Tamahang bhajami Eko pyasaura chayatung jagadanda koting yachakti rasti jagadanda chayayadantaha andanta rasta paramanu chayanta rastam govinda mari purushang tamahang bhajami yadbhava bhavita dhiyo manujasta taiva samprapya rupa mahimasana yana bhushaha Suktair yameva nigamak pratitaik stubanti Govinda madi purushang tamahang pajami Ananda chinmayarasa pratibhavitabhis Tabhir ya eva nijarupataya kalabhihi Goloka eva nivasatya kilatma bhuto Govinda madi purushang tamahang pajami Premanjana churita bhakti vilochanena santaksa daiva hridayeshu vilokayanti yang shama sundaram achintya gunasvarupam govinda madi purushang tamahang bhajami ramadi murti shukala niyamena tishtan nanavatara makarod bhuvaneshu kintu Krishna swayang samabhavat paramak pumanyo Govinda mari purushang tamahang bhajami Yasya prabha prabhavato jagadanda koti Koti shvashesha vasudhadi vibhuti bhinnam Tad brahma nishkalam anantam ashesha bhutam Govinda mari purushang tamahang bhajami Maya hi yasya jagad anda shatani sute Traigunya tad vishaya veda vitaya mana Sattvavalambi parasattvang vishuddha sattvang Govinda mari purushang tamahang bhajami Ananda chinmayarasatmatayamanaksu Yak praninang pratipalan smaratam upetya
Lilayatena Bhubanani Jayat Yajasram Govindamadi Purusham Tamahang Pajami Golokanamni Nijadhamni Tale Chatasya Devi Mahesha Haridhama Suteshu Teshu Tete Prabhava Nichaya Vihitashchayena Govindamadi Purusham Tamahang Pajami Shrishti Stiti Pralaya Sadhana Shakti Rekha Chayeva Yasya Bhubanani Bhiparti Durga Ichanurupa Mapiyasya Chacheshtate Sa Govindamadi Purusham Tamahang Pajami Kshirang Yatadati Vikara Vishesha Yogat Sanjayate Nahitatak Pratak Asti Hetoho Yah Shambhutama Pitata Samupaiti Karyad Govindamadi Purusham Tamahang Pajami Diparchireva Hidashantaram Abhyupetya Dipayate Vivritahetu Samana Dharma Yastadrigeva Hicha Vishnutaya Vibhati Govindamadi Purusham Tamahang Pajami Yakara Narna Bajale Bhajatisma Yoga Nidramananta Jagadanda Saroma Kupaha Adhara Shakti Mabalambyas Parang Swamurting Govindamadi Purusham Tamahang Pajami Yasyaika Nishvasita Kalamatava Lambya Jivanti Loma Vilaja Jagadanda Nataha Vishnur Mahansa Iha Yasya Kala Vishesho Govindamadi Purusham Tamahang Pajami Basvanya Tashma Shakaleshu Nijeshu Tejah Suyankiyat Prakatayat Yapitadvad Atra Brahma Yesha Jagad Anda Vidhana Karta Govindamadi Purusham Tamahang Pajami Yat Pada Pallava Yugang Vinidhaya Kumbha Dvandve Pranama Samaye Saganadhi Rajaha Vignan Vihantu Malamasya Jagatrayasya Govindamadi Purusham Tamahang Pajami Agnir Mahi Gaganamambu Maruddishascha Kalas Tatatma Manasiti Jagatrayani Yasmad Bhavanti Vibhavanti Vishanti Yangcha Govindamadi Purusham Tamahang Pajami Yashchakshuresha Savita Sakala Grahana Raja Samasta Suramurti Rishesha Tejaha Yasyagyaya Brahmati Sangpritakala Chakro Govindamadi Purusham Tamahang Pajami Dharmota Papa Nichayak Shrutayasta Pangsi Brahmadi Kita Patakavadhayascha Jibaha Yadatta Matra Vibhava Prakata Prabhava Govindamadi Purusham Tamahang Pajami Yastvindra Gopam Atavendra Mahoswa Karma Bandhanu Rupa Palabhajanam Atanoti Karmani Nirdahati Kintu Chabhakti Bhajang Govindamadi Purusham Tamahang Pajami Yang Krodha Kama Sahaja Pranayadi Bhiti Vatsalya Moha Guru Gaurava Sevya Bhavahi Sanchintya Tasya Sadrishing Tanamapurete Govindamadi Purusham Tamahang Pajami Govindamadi Purusham Tamahang Pajami Shriya Kantaha Kantaha Parama Purusha Kalpataravo Druma Bhumish Chintamani Ganamai Toyamamritam Katha Ganang Natyang Gamanam Pivangshi Priyasakhi Chidanandang Jyoti Paramapi Tadasvadyamapi Cha Sayatra Kshirabdhi Srabati Surabhibhyascha Sumahan Nimeshardhakyo Vavrajati Nahi Yatrapi Samayaha Bhaje Shweta Dvipang Tamaham Iha Golokam Itiyang Vidantaste Santakshiti Birala Charakatipaye Atobacha Mahavishnur Bhagavantam Prajapating Brahman Mahatva Vignane Prajasarge Chachenmatihi Panchashlokimimang Vidyang Vatsadattang Nibodhame Prabudhe Jnana Bhakti Pyam Atmanyananda Chinmayi Udetyanutama Bhakti Bhagavat Prema Lakshana Pramana istat sadachara istat abhyasaya nirantaram bodhayanatmanatmanang bhaktim apyutamang labhet nasti yaya nivritamapnuyat ya sadhayatimam eva bhaktim tam eva sadhayet dharmananyan parityajya mamekang bhajavishvasan yadrishi yadrishi shraddha siddhir bhavati tadrishi Kurvan nirantaram karma loko yam manuvartate tenaiva karmana tyayan mang parang bhakti michati aham hi vishvasya characharasya bijang pradhanam prakriti pumangsha maya hitang teja idang bibharshi vidhe vidhehi tvamato jaganti ishvarah parama krishnah sachidananda vigraha Sachidadir Govinda Sarvakarana Karanam Iti Shri Brahma Samhita Sampurnam Hari Om Jai Shri Shri Radha Madan Mohan. Does anyone know where? Thank you. Hare Krishna. We were reading last time in the Brahma Samhita, because I wasn't here last week, which verse we did. We didn't do Brahma Samhita last week? Well, we do Bhagavatam too, but we always read a little verse from the Brahma Samhita. Uh-huh. Okay. Does anybody have a verse from Brahma Samhita that they have any questions about or have any or just want to discuss? Anything? It's kind of a difficult book, this Brahma Samhita, that Bhaktisiddhanta wrote with very precise, philosophical, difficult language. Prabhupada's books are much more accessible. And this is wonderful hymn. We, we learn to recite stotras or hymns like this, and throughout the Bhagavatam there are many prayers sung by great devotees, and like the prayer sung by Gajendra, or the prayers that Lord Shiva taught the Prachetas, and different prayers like this that we can recite and memorize, and they go deep into our hearts. Even just the Sanskrit sounds, even if we don't understand the meaning very well, it acts as medicine. And if we memorize them and then we're able to recite them, we get very great benefit, great purification and elevation that helps us understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. And this particular hymn, the Brahma Samhita, was found by Lord Chaitanya 500 years ago when he was touring South India. We were just celebrating the 500th anniversary when he took sannyas. And shortly after he took sannyas, then he went to stay at Jagannath Puri. He promised his mother that he wouldn't go. He wanted to go to Vrindavan, but Lord Nityananda tricked him and brought him back to Shantipur in Bengal. So he thought he was in Vrindavan, but he was really at Advaitacharya's house. And they had a big ceremony there, and Mother Shachi Devi came, and she said, your older brother, he took sannyas and he disappeared into South India. We never saw him or heard from him again. I couldn't bear it now. You're my only other son. I couldn't bear it if you disappeared. So if you stay, please, I ask you this request, that you stay close by, and Jagannath Puri is a holy place where sannyasis can go and stay. And if you're there, it's close, so I'll always get news of you. And Lord Chaitanya agreed. Of course, this was his transcendental pastime. Lord Chaitanya is the Supreme Personality of Godhead who appeared in this form of his own devotee. And he worshipped Lord Jagannath, a particular form of Krishna that's related to the mood of separation of gopis in Vrindavan pining for Krishna's, because of Krishna's absence. And this would became Lord Chaitanya's Ishtadeva. This was all by transcendental arrangement, that it wasn't, you know, it wasn't just some accident that Satyadevi asked him to stay in Jagannath Puri, but Lord Chaitanya is eternally associated with that holy dham, that holy place of pilgrimage on the shore of the great ocean. I just, Bhakta George Prabhu sent this film clip from a YouTube clip, wasn't it? I saw it on Facebook. There's a clip from an old movie from like the 1940s or something, a black and white old movie. Huh? Oh, it was Rasikananda. You said you commented on. I saw that movie once, many, many years ago. There's an old movie made in India. It's black and white, and it's the life of Lord Chaitanya. And there's this one clip where someone is singing, very melodiously singing the hymns to Lord Jagannath, Jagannatha Swami, Nayana Patakami, Bhavatume, these hymns that were written by Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, one of Lord Chaitanya's great devotees. And while he's singing, the image is Lord Chaitanya running for the first time, you know, running down to Jagannath Puri and seeing the dome of the temple in the distance. It's, you know, wonderful that they filmed this, because now if you go to Jagannath Puri, there's been a lot of development. It's a beautiful place, and people want to go there, have their vacation homes there, and, you know, go by the seaside and things. And you couldn't see, but he's walking along the beach with his arms in the sky, and he sees the dome of the temple. This over 1,000-year-old temple is there, and he's running toward it, and he runs closer across fields and everything, and he actually runs into the temple and right down to the Sanctum Sanctorum and faints when he gets close to Lord Jagannath. A very beautiful song and scene from the movie. So Lord Chaitanya then went to tour South India and spread the Sankirtan movement everywhere, and spread this this teaching of the super excellence of Krishna Bhakti, especially the bhakti that is practiced by the residents of Vrindavan. And he went throughout South India, and when he went on the banks of the Payaniti River, there's a temple called Adi Keshava. And when he was in that temple, he found this scripture. And this is just chapter 50 of a 100-chapter scripture, but the rest of the scripture had been destroyed by the ravages of time, you know, written on leaves. But he rescued this chapter and had it, you know, had the manuscript transcribed so on new leaves, and disseminated it, brought it back to Jagannath Puri and disseminated it among all his devotees. And Srila Prabhupada asked us to recite this hymn as a regular daily function in all of our Krishna consciousness temples. George Harrison of the Beatles did a recording, helped the devotees. The devotees in England, they recorded the Hare Krishna mantra, and it actually became a hit in European radio and stuff. It was in the top 40 hit, you know, and of the devotees singing the Hare Krishna mantra. And they had developed this relationship with George and John and Apple Records and stuff, and they were able to use the Apple studio, and they recorded one album called Radha Krishna Temple, with Jamuna singing and some of the other devotees, Shamasundar and everybody. And Jamuna was the lead singer on many of the songs. Sometimes she sings in such a deep voice that she sounds like a man. Bajamana Hore. You know, everyone must know this album. If you don't, you should get it. But the one song she sang, this Brahma Samhita, and I think it's actually George playing electric guitar on this song. And Srila Prabhupada liked it so much that he said that we should play that every morning when we greet the deities. So in the ISKCON temples, where they have the regular six artis and everything that we do for our installed deities, and they in the morning when the deities are dressed in their day outfits around 8 o'clock or 7:30 in the morning, the curtains open and everybody sees the deities, and at that time, this song from this album is played, with the Brahma Samhita being sung by just a small part of it, not the whole thing that we recited, but being sung by Jamuna Dasi. And so, any comments or discussion about Brahma Samhita or any of the verses? Yes, Rajendra Kumar Das, Haribol.
So, Prabhuji, I wanted to know, like this, there is Kama Bija Gayatri and, you know, various Gayatris are there. And then there is this Hare Krishna Mahamantra. I wanted to know the comparison or in consideration of Brahman initiation. And, you know, if one is just Harinam initiated, other is Brahman initiated. So there may come a doubt that mantra, is it superior, inferior? What exactly is the real understanding?
Well, first I should just make a disclaimer that I'm not particularly qualified to answer that question. But there's a nice book about the Gayatri Mantra by Mahanidhi Swami, which I could refer you to, which discusses all the different types of Vedic literatures and different types of mantras and explains some of these things. But the Hare Krishna mantra is being spread by Lord Chaitanya, and we should understand the Hare Krishna mantra is perfect. It's complete. It's being sung by gopis in Vrindavan by the highest devotees. So it's not like the Hare, we shouldn't think the Hare Krishna mantra is any way inferior to any of these other mantras. But the other mantras that are being given on Brahman initiation help us to chant the Hare Krishna mantra correctly. We go to everyone and we ask them, please chant Hare Krishna. And the chanting of Hare Krishna can be chanted with offenses, and then it can be chanted in the clearing stage where we're getting rid of the offenses, and then it can be chanted in pure love. And when it's chanted in pure love, that's the real Shuddha Nam. That's very, very... I mean, the holy name is always all-powerful. It's endowed with all the Lord's transcendental qualities. But to be able to... Those devotees who can actually chant it with pure love, without any offense, in prema, they can actually deliver the whole universe. It's that powerful, very, very strong. I was just... Actually, Chandramouli Swami gave a class. Did anybody watch the class on Mayapur TV a couple nights ago? They're watching that nowadays. It's the festival, and for Lord Chaitanya's appearance day coming up, and many, many devotees have descended on Mayapur, and the leading sannyasis and leading devotees are giving classes every morning there. And about 6:30 at night, if you have an internet connection, you can go on to, like, if you go on to Dandavats, there's a link. That's how I go. But if you just go on mayapur.com or some. Mayapur.tv. So you can see what's going on in the temple and when they're giving a class. So Chandramouli Swami gave a class, and I don't remember where. It was from Bhaktivinod Thakur. I think it was from Jaiva Dharma or something. But there's a list of the anarthas that we have to get rid of. And there's 16 anarthas classified in 4 different categories. So it's very systematic. There's anarthas that are philosophical misunderstandings. The 4 of those are misunderstanding who we are, misunderstanding the Supreme Personality of Godhead and his relationship with the living entities and with the material nature or with nature. And then there's misunderstanding about the process of sadhana, of how to become purified. And there's the misunderstandings about other philosophies. Then there's 4 kinds of anarthas caused by impious activities and 4 kinds of anarthas caused by pious activities. And the ones caused by pious activities are attachment to material enjoyment, attachment to mystic powers, attachment to fruitive activities for getting to heavenly planets, and finally attachment to liberation. And the 4 anarthas caused by impious activities, Hare Krishna, the 4 caused by impious activities are attachment to things other than Krishna consciousness activities, deceitfulness, fault finding, and desire for fame. And then there's 4 kinds of offenses. Offenses to the holy name, offenses to the deities, offenses to the Vaishnavas, and offenses to other living entities. And Chandramouli Swami emphasized that the offenses to the Vaishnavas and other living entities are the most dangerous, most important to avoid. But he said in the course of the discussion, or actually in the question and answer period afterward, he said that the different levels, you know, there's levels of, it's so systematic, it's amazing. You know, there's levels of ado, shraddha, and sadhu sangha, bhajana kriya, nishta, ruchi, and going up to prema, the different levels of devotional service. And he said that the offenses, like Bhaktivinoda Thakur has explained, that you know the nartas caused by philosophical misunderstandings, they're all done away with by the time you get to nishta. And the anarthas of pious activities and sinful activities are done away with in the stage of ruchi. But the offenses, the anarthas known as the four kinds of offenses, they're not done away with even up until the stage of prema, that you don't get rid of them. So through the stages of bhava and asakti and stuff, there are still offenses in the way people do things. So anyway, we can chant Hare Krishna and it's very, very powerful. But to be able to chant well, we have to be in the mode of pure goodness. And so material nature is divided into these three qualities that we read about here, passion, goodness, and ignorance. And even in the mode of goodness, material mode of goodness, it's still material. As we're associating with matter, and we become conditioned by a sense of happiness. This is described in Bhagavad Gita. So to chant Hare Krishna correctly, we have to be transcendental on the Brahma-Bhuta platform. That's Brahma-Bhuta, Prasannatma, Nishochati, Nakangshati, Samaksarveshu, Bhuteshu, Madbhaktir Labhate Param. So in that stage of Brahma-Bhuta, of complete liberation from material attachment, then real bhakti begins. Otherwise, you know, it's bhakti because we're doing it under regulation, under being prescribed by superiors, and it's the way to get out of attachment to material nature by being in it's the very power. In fact, in this class, Bhaktivinoda Thakur also said, how do we overcome these different anarthas or unwanted things that block, that check our devotional service? Through Sankirtan. Harinam Sankirtan. Lord Chaitanya has given this method. It's very, very strong. And if by doing Sankirtan, it destroys, it crushes all the anarthas and makes us very quickly able to come to the level of, you know, pure devotees, of to be able to chant in love. And the process of Brahman initiation and the Pancharatrika system, this, I recommend you to read Mahanidhi Swami's book, The Gayatri Mantra. But there are these different purificatory processes. First of all, there's ordinary morality or Varnashram Dharma that... people have to live in an organized way and not hurt each other and know how to how society runs properly. Otherwise, you're committing sinful activities and they cause these other anarthas, you know. But then aside from that, there's the Pancharatrika system. And the whole idea is that the Vedas were so vast. I forget the story how in the beginning, the demon Madhu, something stole the Vedas from Lord Brahma. And at any rate, Lord Brahma said, you know, how can we, someone else may tell the story better, but, you know, we need the instructions of the Vedas in one, you know, sort of concentrated place, and the Pancharatras were given like that. So they're more, and so the Pancharatrika system of like how we worship the deities, the rituals and the things that we do, you know, even just putting on tilak and the mantras we say when we put on our tilak and the, you know, the different things that we do as part of our daily routine and everything, they're coming from special pancharatras designed for pure devotional service and handed down by the six Goswamis and through the systems. And they're very purifying. And so they help us to chant Hare Krishna with pure love. Ultimately, chanting Hare Krishna is full and independent and complete in itself. And it's not dependent on any ritual. As Prabhupada says, there's no hard and fast rules. You don't have to take your bath and go to the temple to do it. You know, George Harrison of the Beatles, he was driving from Paris to Nice or something like that, driving all night, 11-hour drive or something, and he was chanting Hare Krishna the whole way, and he couldn't stop, and he was saying how nice it was. But you can chant it in your car, you can chant it in the shower, you can chant it, and Prabhupada said, you don't blame a dirty man if he's in the shower. that would fall into the category of fault-finding, which is one of the anarthas caused by sinful activity. So you can chant it without hard and fast rules, and it's ultimately that in the Nectar of Devotion, Rupa Goswami describes that all the regulative principles for avoiding the offenses and, you know, all the different principles that devotees have to learn, they all are servants of two principles. Principles come in the form of yama and niyama. There's something you must do and something you must not do. Do this, you're prohibited from that. And the essential yama, the essential activity is remember Krishna, always, at every moment, remember Krishna. And the central prohibition is don't ever forget Krishna. And all of the other regulative principles are really servants of those principles. So that's, you know, that's again the philosophical understanding of sadhana, is to really understand how it works, that it helps us to get out of the influence of association with lower modes of material nature, and into the association of mode of goodness. At least in the mode of goodness, there's this knowledge that we're not this body, we're not material. We're able to distinguish our actual spiritual selves from our senses. Sattvam yad brahma darshanam. There's that verse in the second chapter of the first canto that says that, you know, smoke is better than raw wood, but fire is better than smoke. Anyway, sattvam yad brahma darshanam. With fire, we can perform Vedic sacrifices. So the comparison is there. Daruno dumad tasmad agnis traimaha tamasastu rajas tasmat satvangyad brahmadarshanam. I didn't get the partiva daruno dumad is the beginning. So similarly, smoke is compared to the mode of passion. It's better than the mode of ignorance. But with mode of goodness, then we can begin to perceive spiritual reality, substance, spiritual substance, the reality. So the Brahman initiation is the second birth that establishes one on the platform of now he's a spiritual being and he should act like a spiritual being. So by taking Brahman initiation and the mantras that you're given at Brahman initiation. And these are not material mantras either. These, you know, Kama Gayatri mantra, these are essential seeds that are given. Here it was given to Lord Brahma. So in the hymn we just read, given by Goddess Saraswati, who in this case was not the Brahma's wife, but actually the goddess of the wife of Lord Narayan Saraswati. Wife of Krishna, Saraswati. So she gave him the Gayatri, Kama Gayatri mantra that leads directly to Goloka Vrindavan and to realization of Krishna in Goloka Vrindavan. So that this is why this hymn that Lord Chaitanya found was so special. He was already teaching about Goloka Vrindavan and Srimad Bhagavatam in Navadvip. But here in South India, he discovered this scripture that's teaching the same thing. And but by being initiated as a brahmana and practicing the activities and rules and regulations for following Brahman initiation, then one can become situated on the platform of goodness and hopefully on the platform of pure goodness, where one can chant the Hare Krishna mantra in pure love without any offense in the liberated stage. So that's my best answer to that question. So we should understand the relationship of these things, that there are rules of just general rules of ethics and etiquette. There's rules of worship and rituals that help us. You know, the ultimate, all of everything we're doing is so that we can love Krishna. And if you have the love of Krishna, the rules don't matter even. Not that we break the rules, but there are stories there that teach us this. You know, stories of how, because Krishna really only accepts the love. He doesn't need anything. So there's the story of Shabari in Ramayana. She's tasting the berries before she offers them. She's breaking all the rules. She's a tribal girl. She doesn't come from Vedic culture, from Aryan civilization. She doesn't know the rules. But because she has the love there, he's accepting with great relish. And there are many other stories like this that, you know, that we shouldn't become too attached to rules and regulations without knowing the purpose behind them. And on the other hand, we shouldn't become attached to not following the rules that we know, because they really do lead us to be able to regulate ourselves, regulate our senses, and be able to come to the platform of goodness and chant with real sincerity and feeling. So let's chant this song in our songbook. Udila Aruna. It's the songs, prayers to be sung in the morning. Page 38. Someone get some cartels. Okay, good.
Udila Aruna Pura Babhage Dwijamani Gora Amani Jage Bhakata Samuha Loya Shate Gela Nagara Braje Tatai tatai bajalo ko kana kana tahe janjera ro Preme dhala dhala shonara anga charane nu pura baje Mukunda Madhava Jadava Hari Bole na bolo re badana bhori Miche nida bashe gelo re rati Dibasha sharira shaje E monna durlabha manava deho paya ki koro bhavana keho E bena bhajile jashoda suta charame pori belaje Udittata panna hoile ashta dina gelo boli hoibe byashta tabe keno ebe alasha hoy na bhaja hridaya raje Jivana anita jana hasha tahana na bidha vipada bha namashraya kori jatane tumi takaha apanna kaje Jibera kalyana shadhana kam jagate ashiye madhura nam abhidhati miratapanna rupe hrida gagane viraje Krishna nam shudha koriya pan jurao bhakati binoda pran. Nama bina kichu nahi koharo chodha bhuvana mache. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jeev Jago, Jeev Jago, Gora Chanda Bole. Kota Nidra Jamaya Pishachira Kole. Bhaji Baboli Aeshe Shangshara Bhitore Bhuli Arohile Tumi Avidyara Bhore. Tomare loite ami hoinu avatara. Ami bina bandhu aro ke ache tomara. Ene chio shodhi maya nashi varo lagi. Hari nama maha mantra lao tumi magi. Bhakti Vinoda Prabhu Charane Pariya. She Hari Nam Mantra Loilo Magiya. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
When a tinge of red on the eastern horizon heralded the sunrise, the jewel of the twice-born Lord Gaurasundara immediately awakened. Taking his devotees with him, he went all over the countryside, visiting the towns and villages of Nadia. The mridangas resounded, tatai, tatai, the cymbals chimed in time, and Lord Gauranga's footbells jingled as his golden form trembled slightly in ecstatic love of God. Lord Chaitanya called out to the townsfolk, "You spend your nights uselessly sleeping and your days decorating your bodies. Now just fill your mouths with the vibration of the holy names, Mukunda, Madhava, Yadava, Hari, chanting without offense. You have achieved the rare human body. Don't you care for this gift? If you do not serve the darling of Yashoda now, great sorrow awaits you at death. Each time the sun rises and sets, a day passes and is lost. Then why do you remain idle and refuse to serve the Lord of the heart? Understand this essential fact. Life is temporary and full of all kinds of miseries. So make it your only business to take shelter of the holy name and always engage in his service. Desiring to bless all souls, the sweet name of Krishna has descended to the material world and now shines like the sun in the sky of the heart, destroying the darkness of ignorance. Drink the pure nectar of the holy name of Krishna and thus satisfy the soul of Bhaktivinod. There is nothing but the holy name within all the 14 worlds. Lord Gauranga is calling, "Wake up, sleeping souls. Wake up, sleeping souls. You have slept so long on the lap of the witch Maya. You came into this world of birth and death saying, 'My Lord, I will certainly worship you,' but you have forgotten this promise and remained in great ignorance. I have descended just to save you. Except for me, who is your friend? I have brought the medicine to eradicate the disease of illusion. Now pray for this Harinama Maha Mantra and take it." Bhaktivinod fell at the lotus feet of Lord Gauranga, and after begging for the holy name, he received that Maha Mantra. Haribol. So next on our program, we chant the 8 verses composed by Rupa Goswami in glorification of the holy name, known as Namashtikam. And it's at the blue tab in the blue binders. So I'll chant and you repeat the Sanskrit, and then we'll recite all of the English together. We have to stay on our toes and remember the protocol. Nikhila Shruti Mauli Ratnamala Dyuti Nirajita Pada Pankajanta Ayi Mukta Kulai Rupasya Manang Paritas Twang Harinama Sangshrayami. All together. O Harinama, the tips of the toes of your lotus feet are constantly being worshipped by the glowing radiance emanating from the string of gems known as the Upanishads, the crown jewels of all the Vedas. You are eternally adored by liberated souls like Narada and Shukadeva. O Harinama, I take complete shelter of you. Jaya Nama Deya Muni Brinda Gaya He Janaranjanaya Param Akshara Krite Twamanadarad Apimanag Udiritang Nikilo Gratapa Pataling Bilumpasi. O Harinama, all glories to you. Sung by all the sages, you are the supreme combination of syllables, and you bring transcendental bliss to everyone. If a person utters you but once, even disrespectfully, still you relieve his many extreme sufferings. Yad abhaso pyudyan kavalita bhavadvanta vibhavo. Drishang tatvan dhanam api dishati bhakti pranayanim. Janas tasyo datang jagati bhagavan nama tarane. Kriti te nirvaktum ka iha mahimanang prabhavati. O son of the holy name, even a dim glimmer of your splendor swallows the powerful darkness of materialistic life and gives those who are blind to the truth the vision to follow the path of pure devotional service. Who in this world, even if learned and pious, can fully describe your transcendental glory? Yad brahma sakshat kriti nishtayapi vinashamayati vinana bhogahi apaiti namas puranena tatte prarabdha karmeti virauti vedaha. O holy name, the Vedas declare that meditation on the impersonal Brahman cannot bring freedom from karmic reactions, that they must be enjoyed or suffered, but that when you manifest in one's consciousness, all karma at once disappears. Aghadamana yashoda nandana nandasuno kamalanayana gopi chandra vrindavanendraha Pranata Kuruna Krishna Vityaneka Swarupe Twai Mama Ratiru Chair Vartatang Namateya. O holy name, you have many forms such as Aghadamana, crusher of Aghasura, Yashodanandana, darling child of Yashoda, Nandasuno, son of Nanda, Kamala Nayana, lotus eyed one, Gopi Chandra, moon of the gopis, Vrindavanendra, king of Vrindavana, Pranata Karuna, he who is merciful to the surrendered souls, and Krishna. I pray that my love for you in your many forms may greatly increase. Vachyang vachakam ityudeti bhavato nama swarupa dvayam. Purvasmat parameva hanta karunam tatrapi jani mahe. Yas tasmin vihita paradha nivahak prani samantad bhaved. Asye nedam upasya sopihi sadanandam buddhau majjati. O holy name, you manifest two forms, the supreme person you designate and the sound vibration that designates. We know that the second form is more merciful than the first, because even if a person offends your first form in many ways, you plunge him into an ocean of transcendental bliss if he serves your second form with his voice. Suditashita janarta rashaye Ramya Chidkana Sukha Swarupine Nama Gokula Mahotsavayate Krishna Purna Vapushe Namo Namaha. O holy name, you destroy the many sufferings of those who take shelter of you. You are the very form of concentrated spiritual bliss, a festival of happiness for Gokula, and the perfect and complete form of Lord Krishna. Again and again I bow to you. Narada vino jivana Sudhormi niryasa madhuri pura Tvang Krishna nama kamang Spurame rasane rasena sada. O enlivener of Narada's Veena, O flood of the waves of sweet nectar, O holy name of Lord Krishna, please forever manifest on my tongue with all your nectarian sweetness. Holy name ki jai. So any comments on these verses? Someone? Otherwise we'll go right to the Bhagavatam verses. Someone say something about the Namashtika.
Param Aksharakirte. Janaranjanaya Param Aksharakirte. So there's so many things to speak and talk. But the Hare Krishna Mahamudra like, is a supreme combination of the syllables. So that is very nice. We can keep meditating on the Mahamantra itself. The Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. So it's a supreme combination of the syllables, just meditation.
For the happiness of the people, Jana Rakshanaya. Yes. All right, so, yes. Yes. It's a remarkable verse text for, isn't it? If you meditate on the impersonal Brahman, you still have to enjoy and suffer the results of your pious and sinful activities. But when you chant Hare Krishna, you become immediately completely spiritual person. And you don't have to enjoy or suffer. Just like, of course, there's offenses to be considered, and we may chant and get a glimpse of that chanting in ecstasy, but then we go back to our bad habits and things like that. We shouldn't go back, but we do. But when we chant, when we get in the kirtan and we're absorbed in the kirtan, we immediately get an experience of what actual spiritual life is. Maybe a little tiny. You know, even a drop of that nectar can save one from the most dangerous fear and all that. So even a little drop of the chanting of Hare Krishna can give us a glimpse of the ecstasy of what it must be like in the spiritual world, free from all anxiety. So if the idea is that the chanting of holy name is much more powerful a spiritual practice than meditating on the undifferentiated, that which is formless and beyond time and space. The Upanishads and Vedanta Sutra, you know, they're difficult to understand, but if you understand them properly from the point of view of the Srimad Bhagavatam and the devotees, you can understand that what's being described in a negative way as not material, that which is transcendental to all the material qualities, actually then it has a positive life also. It's not, it all, when we say that, you know, the absolute truth is not, it doesn't have qualities, what we're saying is it doesn't have material qualities like the material qualities we're familiar with. But it also, there are all these qualities of Supreme Personality of Godhead, but they're all transcendental, and it's hard for, it's beyond logic to understand how there are transcendental qualities, but they're experienced in the chanting of the holy name. So meditating on the qualityless, formless, white light, undifferentiated, you know, that which is can't be divided and can't, you know, it's just the one, and we're all that, and that still is one. That's one powerful spiritual process, but the chanting of Hare Krishna is a much more powerful process, and it has, and it brings immediate results. And therefore, people who try it, we can, you know, we can tell people when we're out going out to preach, we can tell people, please chant this and taste it for yourself. The proof of the pudding is in the eating, you know. So it's not a matter of just philosophy and speculation and, you know, what this authority says and that authority says. But actually, we chant Hare Krishna and join the kirtan, and you experience that you may be feeling some, you know, pain in your joints or a headache or something like that, and then you chant Hare Krishna, immediately it's relieved. Actually, I used to smoke two packs a day of cigarettes. I was a student and everything, and a lot of and I had tried to give up smoking cigarettes, and I couldn't give up smoking cigarettes. But then I moved into the temple, and I didn't even I gave up smoking cigarettes without any discomfort or anything. I just never thought of them again. So we should advertise this. This is, you know, people spend money on different patches, nicotine patches and hypnosis and stuff. But if you just join the Hare Krishna temple, there are these, you know, like mystical benefits to chanting Hare Krishna and worshiping Krishna, that all your material miseries escape. But then, because if we go back to material activities, or we don't take it very seriously, or if we criticize devotees, or, you know, engage in, I mean, there's different things that we can do that will destroy our devotional service. And there's six things that we should avoid, like mundane talks, overeating, overcollecting, avoiding the regular principles or just following them without, you know, being overly attached to them without understanding the reasons behind them, and associating with worldly people, being greedy, And these things will destroy our devotional service. But if we can avoid those things and remain enthusiastic and follow the six things that are favorable to, for devotional service, associating with devotees and avoiding the association of non-devotees and being enthusiastic and determined and following, being honest, following the footsteps of the acharyas in sincerity. And there's six things. So we can actually become free from all of the results of our previous activities. But a devotee's mood is, if I'm experiencing some suffering now, I accept it's just a token of what I really deserve for what I must have been doing in my past lives, you know, because we understand philosophically why is it that someone is born in a miserable condition and someone else is born in a materially comfortable position or privileged position and things like that. There must be some reason, some cause for all these effects. And we understand that the cause is that based on pious deeds and impious deeds, everyone is competing to be in a materially comfortable position and in this world. And sometimes the wheel of fortune turns up for them, sometimes it turns down. When they get in the comfortable position, the tendency is they exploit others and make mistakes and impious things that drag them down again. And so this wheel is going around. But by chanting the holy name, everybody can simply come together and not have to enjoy and suffer those effects. But the famous verse for Lord Brahma spoke in the tenth canto is Tattenu kampam susumikshamano bunjana evatma kritang vibhakam hridvag vapubir. What is it? Namaste. Vaish was talking about, I wasn't here last week, but the week before he said, it's just kind of a throwaway line, you know, we're eating what we've already cooked for ourselves. Punjana evat makritang vipakam. When something, you know, when those activities we commit, they ripen. And then, you know, the happiness and distress we're enjoying and suffering today has its origins in activities that we did years ago or lifetimes ago, even many lifetimes ago. Sometimes the activities create a seed that's doesn't even appear in our consciousness yet, but it's our subconscious. They say that Sigmund Freud and these guys in the end of the 19th century discovered the unconscious, but actually in the Vedic literatures it's always been there, that we're motivated by things that we can't even, you know, that we're not even aware of, but they're deep down and within us. And these seeds then, they gradually grow and to saplings and twigs and then flowers and they bear fruits. And the fruits are the happiness and distress we're experiencing now. The twigs and things are the desires and ambitions that we have and things that propel us. We're a much more complicated organism than we think we are. This particular body, these particular senses, the human form of life has to do with things that we've done in the past. So the devotee accepts the sufferings he's experiencing today while all the while going on in the core of his heart. Hridvag vapu pir viditan namaste. So he's giving obeisances with his heart, his voice, and his body. He's going on giving without cessation, giving obeisances to the Lord. You know, the tendency is when things aren't going good for us, we say, you know, curses, you know, curse my fate, you know, the curse of the gods, you know, in the Greek myths, you know, oh Poseidon, you know, why have you done this? So people think, you know, God must be very cruel. Why is my fate causing me this trouble? But actually the devotee's mood is that God is very kind and the trouble that I'm getting is I created it, but God is delivering me from it. And if I just continue worshiping him without stop while tolerating the disturbances that come in life, then sadaya bhak, just like a son will inherit his father's property when the father dies, it's automatic that the devotee inherits this spiritual world of liberation, mukti pade. So, okay, so the yellow tab, Meyer lemon colored tab, as we say, are verses from Srimad Bhagavatam that we recite. Let's recite them all together, just the Sanskrit. Suta uvacha narayanang namaskritya narang chaiva narottamam deving sarasvating vyasang tato jayam mudirayet vadanti tat tatva vidas tatvang yajjnanam advayam brahmeti paramatmeti bhagavan iti shabdyate shrinvatang sukata krishna punya shravana kirtanaha Hridyantaksto hibadrani vidhunoti suhritsatam nashta praeshu bhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavat yutama shloke bhaktir bhavati naishtiki tadarajastamo bhava kamalo bhadayaschaye cheta etayarana vidhang stitang sattve prasidati evang prasanna manaso bhagavat bhakti yogataha Bhagavat tattva vijnanam mukta sangasya jayate vidyate hridaya grantish chidyante sarva sangshayaha kshiyante chasya karmani drishte evatmanishvare ete chang shakalak pungshaha krishnastu bhagavan swayam indrari vyakulang lokam mridayanti yuge yuge idang bhagavatam nama puranam brahma sammitam Uttama shloka charitam chakara bhagavan rishihi nikshaya saya lokasya dhanyang swasyayanang mahat krishne swadhamo pagate dharma gyana ribhi saha kalo nashta drishamesha puranarko tunoditaha tasmin sva ashrame vyaso badari shandamandite asino apa upasprishya pratidhadya manak swayam Bhakti yogena manasi samyak pranihite male apashyat purushang purnang mayang chattadapashrayam yaya sammohito jiva atmanang trigunatmakam puroapi manute nartang tatkritang chabhipadyate anarto pashamang sakshad bhakti yoga madhokshaje lokasya janato vidvang chakre satvata sanghitam suta uvacha Atma ramas chamunayo nirgranta apyurukrame kurvantyahaitu king bhaktim itang bhuta guno harihi Sri Bhagavan uvacha ahame vasame vagre nanyat yat sarasat param pascharahang yadetacha yo vishishyeta sosmyaham ritertang yat pritieta na pritieta chatmani tadvidyaratmano mayang yatabhaso yatatamaha Yata mahanti bhutani bhuteshu chabacheshwanu pravishtani apravishtani tata teshu niteshwaham itavare vajigyasyang tatva jigyasunatmanaha anvaya vyatirekabhyang yatsyat sarvatra sarvada Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya So we're reading today from Srimad Bhagavatam first canto chapter 11 entitled Lord Krishna's entrance into Dwarka and did we do the book here says on text 18 it says they hastened toward the Lord on chariots with brahmanas bearing flowers before them were elephants emblems of good fortune Did we do that verse last week, or did we do the one about... we did 18 last week? We read 19 and 20 last week? Last week we did chapter 12. Twelve, 13 through 16, the birth of Emperor Parikshit. Oh, we did the 12th canto. Just as the Ganga is the greatest of all rivers, Lord Achyuta, the supreme among deities. So we covered 19. At the same time, many hundreds. Okay. 19 is to be done. Someone said we did 19 and 20, but we did 16 and 17. 17 and 18. 16 and 17 are long. There's a long purport. Then we also did 18? That they came out with Vedic hymns, with conch shells. Okay. Text 19. Sorry, everyone. Bharamukhyascha shatasho yanais tad darshanot sukaha lasat kundala nirbhata kapola vadana shriyaha Bharamukhyascha shatasho yanais tad darshanar sukaha darshan. Sorry, let me do that again. Yanais tat darshanot sukaha. Lasat kundala nirbhata. Kapola vadana shriyaha. Oh, this is a famous verse. I know this verse. Varamukhyascha shataso. Yanais tat darshanot sukaha. Lasat kundala nirbhata kapola vadana shriyaha vara mukhyascha shatasho yanais tad darshanot sukaha lasat kundala nirbhata kapola vadana shriyaha Varamukhyascha shatasho yanais tad darshanot sukaha lasat kundala nirbhata kapola vadana shriyaha Varamukhyascha shatasho yanais tad darshanot sukaha Lasat kundala nirbhata kapola vadana shriyaha varamukhyascha shatasho yanais tad darshanot sukaha lasat kundala nirbhata kapola vadana shriyaha anyone else? Varamukhyascha shatasho yanais tad darshanot sukaha lasat kundala nirbhata kapola vadana shriyaha Varamukhyascha shatasho yanais tad darshanot sukaha Lasat kundala nirbhata kapola vadana shriyaha varamukhyaha well-known prostitutes cha and shatashaha hundreds of yanahi by vehicles tadarshana for meeting him Lord Sri Krishna Utsukaha, very much anxious. Lasat, hanging. Kundala, earrings. Nirbhata, dazzling. Kapola, forehead. Vadana, face. Shriyaha, beauty. Translation. At the same time, many hundreds of well-known prostitutes began to proceed on various vehicles. They were all very eager to meet the Lord, and their beautiful faces were decorated with dazzling earrings, which enhanced the beauty of their foreheads. Please repeat. At the same time, many hundreds of well-known prostitutes began to proceed on various vehicles. They were all very eager to meet the Lord. And their beautiful faces were decorated with dazzling earrings, which enhanced the beauty of their foreheads. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. We may not hate even the prostitutes if they are devotees of the Lord. Even to date, there are many prostitutes in great cities of India who are sincere devotees of the Lord. By tricks of chance, one may be obliged to adopt a profession which is not very adorable in society. But that does not hamper one in executing devotional service to the Lord. Devotional service to the Lord is uncheckable in all circumstances. It is understood herewith that even in those days, about 5,000 years ago, there were prostitutes in a city like Dwarka, where Lord Krishna resided. This means that prostitutes are necessary citizens for the proper upkeep of society. The government opens wine shops, but this does not mean that the government encourages the drinking of wine. The idea is that there is a class of men who will drink at any cost, and it has been experienced that prohibition in great cities encouraged illicit smuggling of wine. Similarly, men who are not satisfied at home require such concessions, and if there is no prostitute, then such low men will induce others into prostitution. It is better that prostitutes be available in the marketplace so that the sanctity of society can be maintained. It is better to maintain a class of prostitutes than to encourage prostitutes within society. The real reformation is to enlighten all people to become devotees of the Lord, and that will check all kinds of deteriorating factors of life. Sri Bilva Mangal Thakur, a great acharya of the Vishnu Swami Vaishnava sect, in his householder life was overly attached to a prostitute who happened to be a devotee of the Lord. One night when the Thakur came to Chintamani's house in torrents of rain and thunder, Chintamani was astonished to see how the Thakur could come on such a dreadful night after crossing a foaming river which was full of waves. She said to Thakur Bilva Mangal that his attraction for the flesh and bone of an insignificant woman like her would be properly utilized if it could be diverted to the devotional service of the Lord to achieve attraction for the transcendental beauty of the Lord. It was a momentous hour for the Thakur, and he took a turn towards spiritual realization by the words of a prostitute. Later on, the Thakur accepted the prostitute as his spiritual master, and in several places of his literary works, he has glorified the name of Chintamani, who showed him the right path. In the Bhagavad Gita 9:32, the Lord says, O son of Pritha, even the low-born Chandalas and those who are born in the family of unbelievers, and even prostitutes, shall attain perfection of life if they take shelter of unalloyed devotional service to me, because in the path of devotional service there are no impediments due to degraded birth and occupation. The path is open for everyone who agrees to follow it. It appears that the prostitutes of Dwarka, who were so eager to meet the Lord, were all his unalloyed devotees, and thus they were all on the path of salvation according to the above version of the Bhagavad Gita. Therefore, the only reformation that is necessary in society is to make an organized effort to turn the citizens into devotees of the Lord, and thus all good qualities of the denizens of heaven will overtake them in their own way. On the other hand, those who are non-devotees have no good qualifications whatsoever, however they may be materially advanced. The difference is that the devotees of the Lord are on the path of liberation, whereas non-devotees are on the path of further entanglement in material bondage. The criterion of advancement in civilization is whether the people are educated and advanced on the path of salvation. Om agyana timirantasya gyananjana shalakaya chakshurun miditang yena tasmai shri guruve namaha shri chaitanya manobhistang sthapitang yena bhutale swayam rupa kadamayam dadati swapatantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tang Sajivam
Sadvaitam Sabadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhanvitangsha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Tinamine Sri Varshabhanavi Devi Daitaya Kripabdhaye Krishna Sambandha Vijnana Daine Prabhave Namaha Madhur Yojvala Premadhya Sri Rupanuga Bhaktida Sri Gaura Kuruna Shakti Vigrahaya Namostute Namaste Gauravani Sri Murtaye Dinatarine Panuga Virudhapa Siddhanta Dvantaharine Namo Gaura Kishoraya Sakshad Vairagya Murtaye Vipralambhara Sambhode Padambu Jayate Namaha Namo Bhakti Vinodaya Satchidananda Namine Gaura Shakti Swarupaya Rupanuga Varayate Gauravir Bhava Bhume Stvang Nirdeshta Sajjana Priyaha Vaishnava Sarva Bhomak Shri Jagannathayate Namaha Vancha Kalpataru Bhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhya Evacha Patitanang Pavane Bhyo Vaishnave Bhyo Namo Namaha Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gauratvishe Namaha Pancha Tattvatmakam Krishnam Bhakta Rupa Swarupakam Bhaktavataram Bhaktakyam Namami Bhakta Shaktikam He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Jayatang Suratau Pangor Mama Manda Matergati Matsarvasva Padam Bhojo Radha Madana Mohano Divyad Vrindaranya Kalpadrumadhak Srimad Ratnagara Singhasanasto Srimad Radha Srila Govinda Devau Prashtali Bhiksevyamano Smarami Sriman Rasara Sarambhi Bhangshi Vatatatak Stitaha Karshan Venus Vanayar Gopir Gopinathak Shriyestunaha Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vrindaye Tulasi Devyai Priyaye Keshavashyacha Krishna Bhakti Prade Devi Satyamatyai Namo Namaha Shri Nishringha Jaya Nishringha Jaya Jaya Nishringha Prathadesha Jaya Padma Mukha Padma Bringa Matsamo Nasti Papatma Naparadhi Nakashchana Parihare Pilajame King Bruve Purushottama Yuvati Nang Yata Yuni Yunang Cha Yuvatau Yata Manobhi Ramate Tatvan Manome Ramatang Twayi Bhumau Skaliti Padanang Bhumireva Valambanam Twayi Jata Paradhanang Twameva Sharanang Prabho Govinda Valabhe Radhe Prataye Twang Mahansada Tadiyang Iti Jana Tu Govindo Mang Twayasaha Radhe Vrindavanadhishe Karunamrita Bahini Kripaya Nijapadabja Dasyang Mahyang Padiyatam Mande Nanda Jajinam Padarenum Abhikshnashaha Yasang Harikatod Gitang Punati Bhubanatrayam Nama Shrishtang Manomapi Shachiputra Matra Surupam Shri Rupam Tasyagra Jamuru Purin Maturing Goshtabhatim Radha Kundang Girivaram Maho Radhika Madhavasang Prapto Yasya Pratita Kripaya Sri Gurung Tang Natosmi Adadana Strinang Dantar Idang Yache Punak Punaha Srimad Rupa Padam Bhoja Rajo Hang Syang Pabe Pabe Tayang Adrir Abala Haridasya Baryo Yadrama Krishna Charanas Parasha Pramodaha Manang Tunoti Sahago Ganayos Tayur Yat Paniya Suya Vasakandara Kandamulai. Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Haribol Mukhang Koroti Vachalang Pangulang Gayate Grim Yat Kripatamahang Bande Shri Gurung Dinataranam. So this is a very interesting purport that Prabhupada is talking about, that in Vedic society there was a role of a class of prostitutes in order to preserve the sanctity of the other honest women and stuff, that there would be a sanctioned, government-sanctioned class there. But also the more important point is that we're not allowed to hate anyone. That ordinarily... people engaged in degraded occupations, butchers and drug dealers and thieves, and there's all kinds of people engaged in sinful occupations. Some are tolerated in different ways, and here prostitution is tolerated by the state. Now there's a political movement to legalize the smoking marijuana in California or something like that. In some states it's been decriminalized already and stuff. So these activities are not good for people. It shouldn't be encouraged. But then if you try to prohibit it, just like they made a prohibition of liquor in the United States in the 1920s, it was a good idea, but it didn't work. People made drinking even more attractive and alluring. There was a whole underworld culture of speakeasies and illicit drinking and it became almost a commonplace thing and caused people to be disrespectful of the laws and of the government and to have an attitude of rebelliousness and disobedience. So the old maxim that we learned in law school was that what the king cannot prohibit, he permits. But the more important point, as I said, is we can't hate anyone, especially if they're devotees, and everyone can be a devotee. Sometimes someone may, because of their situation or something, they may have to be do something dishonest to earn a living. But they may feel bad about it. That I wish. Somehow or another I had to do this, but they feel humble and they feel, like they're not holy and pure, but they respect those who are holy and pure and they respect God. Hare Krishna. And they may be better devotees than the person who thinks of himself, oh, I'm so holy and pure, I do everything right. There's a story in the Bible, there's a wealthy man, Jesus was preaching among Jewish people. He was a Jewish person. He was preaching in that society. And there was a man who followed all the rules of Jewish society. The Jewish society, they also had four classes. The Kohens were the royal order. The Levites were the workers. I forget, but they had actually, it's common in different cultures that they have these four classes, just like in Vedic culture. And so this one man was a wealthy man, and he had followed everything very perfectly, and he came to Jesus and said, I follow all the commandments, I give in charity, I do all the things that a Jewish person is supposed to do, I make the sacrifices. What do I have to do? He must have been expecting Jesus to say, oh, you're already perfect, we can all worship you. But Jesus said, you're a wealthy man, now you should just give away all your money to the poor and then come follow me and wander with me like I am, with nothing, just a sannyasi. And so the man, just went away. He couldn't handle that instruction. He just went away. He had been proud and puffed up. And when I was in, and then Jesus said, according to in the New Testament, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. So when I was in Jagannath Puri in November, then Radhanath Maharaj was there. And I had the good fortune of being able to follow him around to some of the holy places there. He was speaking to us. And he told us that in Jerusalem, in the old city of Jerusalem, there was a big wall around the city that, you know, to protect it from invaders and things. And there was one gate in that wall that was known as the Eye of the Needle, because it was a very narrow gate. And merchants would come on caravans with camels, but the camel loaded up with all the goods and everything, he couldn't pass through that gate. It was too small for a camel loaded with goods. So when you got to that gate, you had to unload your camel and take everything off of it. And even the camel had to bow down, and you had to somehow coax him through that narrow gate to get him through.
To avoiding the tax.
Oh, what? Tell.
What to go to that gate.
Oh, I don't know. That's another story I didn't hear about. So that's people would go through that gate to avoid the tax?
To avoiding the main gate because you
couldn't
pay the tax.
Oh, I see. That makes sense. But the idea is that I didn't realize until Maharaj told me that that was the origin of the saying, for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. I was thinking a needle that you sew with and everything, but that there's an actual gate. So you would have to take all your... So if you want to approach Krishna, you have to get rid of all your baggage. You know, your sense of who you are and what you own and all the things that are so important to you. If you want to really enter the kingdom of God, you have to be willing to give all that stuff up if it pleases Krishna. And you have to be humble, like the camel who has to bow his head and go through the eye of the needle. So sometimes we see that people in society who have the despised occupations that everybody looks on them. And it's a common theme in literature, isn't it? The prostitute with the heart of gold. If you watch the, all of you may or may not have seen Gone with the Wind, right? It was a novel by Margaret Mitchell. They made a big MGM elaborate production movie with it. And there was like Bell Star or something. There was a prostitute, and she supported the Confederate cause and helped the soldiers and things behind the scenes. And all the ladies, because there was some, you know, in the southern United States, there was, and that was part of the theme of the song. The theme of the novel, that there was a hierarchy of like a aristocratic society with rules and, you know, with a sort of inbred sense of, you know, there were different people in different social places, and that was somehow now after the war, that old antebellum pre-war South had gone away and stuff like that. Of course, it wasn't probably very nice for the people who were on the bottom of the social order there. And there was one African studies woman professor who wrote a counter novel called The Wind Done Gone. About, I remember it as a copyright case about 15 years ago or something like that. There was this lady who had, instead of telling the story from the point of view of this privileged plantation owner's daughter who struggled through the, you know, difficulties afterwards, she told it from a black slave woman in her house named Sinara or Cinnamon or something like that. Anyway, Margaret Mitchell's estate suitor. I'm going on a way a bit on a tangent. But it is part of this, that there was Vedic culture, there was a hierarchical society. In the last verse, they talked about how, you know, when people would come, in this case, Lord Krishna was coming, and this is the origin of all of this thing, you know, the origin of why do we look up to noble people and why do we look up to, you know, aristocrats who have better, you know, are supposed to have better qualities than common people. You know, in every society, the Romans had their patricians and plebeians, and human society tends to divide up into lords, nobles, and commoners, and things like that. And there's pomp and circumstance and ceremony, and people like that. I used to distribute books and do some other business in the Little Havana area in Miami, Calle Ocho, And I met this lady who told me that, you know, she had come, you know, there was a socialist revolution in the country, and then sometime afterwards she had come and moved to Miami. And she said, you know, you miss that. You miss that there aren't, like, grades in society where there's something to aspire to. Some people live in the big houses and it's like there's some glamour to that, you know, that you miss that. And the modernist project is to level everyone and demystify. Nobody's better than anybody else and they're all in one situation. But that, but there's actual, you know, there's a, not to say that there aren't social injustices that are caused when the people on the, in the privileged positions are puffed up and don't and misuse their position and everything, but it but there's actually something in our human, you know, our poetry of the human soul that aspires to see majestic things and glamorous things, and which is why this, you know, novel about the antebellum South in the United States was, you know, very popular, and it was a very popular movie, one of the most famous Hollywood movies of all time, and it's that there's this something because it's a reflection that there really is a hierarchy in the spiritual world. But there, there's no injustice. There, Krishna is worshipped. He comes to town and everybody comes out to receive him. That's what's going on in this part of the Srimad Bhagavatam is he's coming back to his home city. It's this magnificent fortress out in the middle of the ocean and floating, mystically floating on the ocean. There's this this magnificent city. And when he's been away, and when he's away, everybody misses him. And when he comes back, they all come out to receive him. And it's very sincere. In the last verse, Prabhupada said, in the such a program, in the purport, the last line of the purport, such a program of reception is full of sincerity on the part of both the receiver and the received. So it's not like this kind of, you know, enforced. If you don't follow, there's going to be some sanctions, you know, if you don't work like some kind of a, you know, Stalinist, you know, North Korea, you know, if you don't say, you know, Jai Kim Il-sung, then people are going to attack you and send you to concentration camp or something like that. But it's all very sincere, just like ISKCON of Silicon Valley. It's individual and voluntary and spontaneous. There's a spontaneous outpouring of love and respect for Krishna, who's the Lord of in Dwarka. He's the Lord of everyone. In Vrindavan, he's just one of the cowherd boys, but still everyone loves him the most. He's the most attractive and beautiful. But in Dwarka, here's the king. You know, the prince, the hero of the city, is coming back. You know, this that hero worship is there. It's natural in our characters. We have celebrities. We have sports heroes. We right now there's the Olympics, speaking of pageantry, going on every 2 years. There's a summer and a winter Olympics. And then this is one time when there's a kind of an international pageantry going on where they have an opening ceremony. Of course, they flubbed it this time and the cauldron didn't burn or whatever. But there's, you know, this, it's supposed to be, you know, I always feel when I see these things that I feel like, well, here's the opportunity where the world is getting together and we're finally saying as a whole world, we're going to, you know, respect something important. You know, they're respecting sports, at least the ability of people to do things athletically, amazing things that the athletes can do and stuff. But it's like it should be that there's a great sacrifice to worship Krishna. And all the world gets together and they show in different ways how they can offer proper respects to Krishna by great poetry and music and drama and dance. And the Brahmins come and they're austere. They, you know, they can practice self-control and pious. They have all these good pious qualities and all the different people come. And in this case, also the prostitutes come and they have their place too. And they're also respected because they're devotees. They're also respected, even though their occupation is not respectable, but because they themselves can be great devotees, and they should be respected. They have the the Christians have the saying, hate the sin, not the sinner. It's a good saying that there's a tendency for people to get all self-righteous and think, well, I don't do those kind of things, you know, and those people who do those kind of things are lower than I am. But the mood of a devotee is that you know, everyone is better than me. I'm just an insignificant spirit soul, and I can see, not that we still have to understand there's a place, it's not wrong for society to look down on prostitutes and other degraded occupations that involve degraded things. It's not wrong for that, but we should see there's a spirit soul, and if they're a devotee, then they're worshipable. You know, that in every body, according to every occupation, there's a spirit soul, and they're doing their duty within society to perform some particular function. And if the whole idea is to encourage everyone, as Srila Prabhupada is saying, the leaders of society, the cultural leaders, the political leaders, intellectual leaders, they should encourage everyone in society to worship Krishna, to understand Krishna, to understand the path of liberation. How do we get free from old age, disease, and death? That these are the real problems that are bothering everyone. And I always see... Yes, go ahead.
A person is a devotee and is doing function for society. Would a person working in a slaughterhouse be doing function for society?
Maybe. Maybe if there's a society that has a slaughterhouse and somehow or another, he's obligated to work there. There's a verse in the Bhagavad Gita, very close to the verse that Prabhupada is quoting here. There's a verse that says, Apichet sudaracharo bhajate mam ananyapak sadhureva samantavya samyag vyavasito hisaha. So he's saying that even if one does sudaracharo, sudaracharo is even worse than durachara. You know, achara is activities, and durachara is bad activities. Sudarachara is like perfectly bad activities, you know, completely bad activities. And yet, Krishna is saying that devotional service is so important that if a devotee somehow or another is engaged in those bad activities, they have to be considered saintly, because very quickly they're going to achieve the highest position. So then the question could arise, well, how could someone who's a great devotee be doing something that's so bad? But sometimes people are obligated for some reason. You know, a son has to do his father's bidding. There are different social reasons why sometimes a devotee may be obligated, just like Prahlad Maharaj was a son of a demon. So he was, even though he was an example of someone who was so strong of a devotee that he was able to just, without any fear, tell his father, you know, you're wrong, you're a demon, you should be worshipping Vishnu, and his father tried to persecute him. But oftentimes, because of material circumstances, even a devotee may be found to have some conditional duty that seems to contradict his constitutional duty, and vice versa. Sometimes his constitutional duty, just like devotees behind the Iron Curtain, they were preaching and distributing books, and sometimes they were being chased and arrested and put in mental institutions and other things like that, and tortured, put in gulags, sent to work in frozen tundra, trying to build cities in permafrost, and with very little low-calorie diets, in these horrible conditions. And so from the point of view of patriotic government officials and things like that, they were doing something very bad. They were going out and they were defying the will of the laws. Yes, go ahead.
That would have something to do with non-attachment to how something's being done or how we perceive it with our eyes, but with our heart. And so it kind of then blows away the karmic actions.
Yes.
And is a lesson in many deep ways.
Yes, and as Krishna's explaining that, there's two different platforms. There's a material platform and there's a spiritual platform, and then we can perceive the spiritual platform with our heart, not just with our material eyes. Premanjana Churita Bhakti Vilochanena, we were reciting here, that the saintly people, they see in their heart of hearts, because their eyes are tinged with the salve of love, they see within their hearts the beautiful form of Shama Sundar. And so this is very interesting verse in the Bhagavad Gita that says that even sometimes a devotee may be found to be doing something horrible, and yet you can't think badly about a devotee. You have to think of the devotee as being saintly, because you're seeing their heart. And what Vaisheshika said is, he said there's different ways of judging people. You can judge people based on what they have done. Even they've done something bad, but even though they've been reformed, you could still think, yes, but they did something bad a long time ago. I'm never going to have respect for them again. Or you can judge people based on what they're doing today. But he said the most merciful way is to judge people on what they may do. But they have the potential. So that's the way that Prabhupada looked at all of us, that even though we were coming from, you know, bad behavior, hippie culture was a culture of rejecting all rules and rejecting all hierarchy, and we can do whatever we want and to be free, man, even though we all have to get old and die and we're not really free. And I mean, this Haight-Ashbury in 1967, the Summer of Love quickly became a nightmare of, you know, drug dealers and exploitive people and things. But Prabhupada looked at us as, you know, if we will chant Hare Krishna, if we will read a little bit of Bhagavad Gita, someday we can become, why not? We can become scholars of Vedic literature at Krishna consciousness. We can become saintly brahmanas. Yes, go ahead.
Just with that, the universe also, we were talking about in the car, doesn't wait. I mean, it's going. So the minute somebody does something to the highest of its potential, the universe will just take that and go with it. It's not going to wait for us. So we'll take what we give it.
Yeah, the universe goes on. We can't stop time. The philosophers try to stop time, right? That's what mental speculation, you know, most people are active. They're engaged in all kinds of activities, and they have to. We're going to make more money, and they have to act. And the philosophers, they want to withdraw and say, wait, why am I doing this anyway? Why shouldn't I, let's wait, let's not be too hasty. Let's suspend judgment a minute and examine things and stuff like that. And the devotees, they act on the platform of devotional service. So that the verse we learned a couple of weeks ago, it's in that song that we sang this morning from Bhaktivinoda Thakur, is when the sun rises and sets, the universe doesn't wait. Every day, no matter what we do, the sun is rising, the clock, the hands are turning, all the planets are moving like a big giant clock, and it's not stopping no matter what we do. The great politician pundit named Chanakya, great Brahmana who was an advisor to Emperor, he said that, you know, considering the value of things, that nothing is more valuable than time, because if you waste 1 minute of time, you can't buy it back for all the gold and jewels that that exist in the whole world. So the universe doesn't wait; it's going on and on. But if we do a little devotional service, that's something from outside of the realm of time. So that verse says, Ayur harati vai pungsam udyanastan chayanaso tasyaita yachana nita utama shloka vartha. So it says, when the sun rises and it sets, it takes away from the lifespan of a human the portion of time of one day. Right? It takes that lifespan away. But not for those who are engaged in glorifying Krishna. That's a marvelous thing. We're sitting here and we're talking about Krishna, and actually we're in touch with that realm which is beyond time and space. And we can actually begin to perceive that. Yes?
In the purport, there's a phrase.
Rajendra Kumar, right?
In the purport, there's a phrase, third line, by tricks of chance, one may be obliged to adopt a profession. So why Prabhupada is using a tricks of chance? Why not karma, or why not, you know, karmic reaction, something? Chance, why chance?
Oh, why is he saying chance rather than karma? Well, I guess the point he's focusing on is this actual idea that, well, if someone is a devotee, then why is she a prostitute? Why doesn't she just become a sannyasini and just go live, you know, a Vaishnava devotee is not dependent on anything, so why can't they just go live in the forest and somehow or another be maintained by God, and not have to worry about how to earn a living by going with, you know, this one man after another. Some drunken, bad-smelling men are coming, and there's, you know, I mean, it's a horrible life that they do. When I was in Vancouver in the old days, I used to distribute books at night on Granville Street, and we would distribute also to the prostitutes, streetwalkers were there. And they were very nice. They liked to talk about Krishna consciousness and buy the books, these Canadian ladies. But anyway, I think the emphasis he's saying is that we can't ask, you know, how is it that a devotee does something bad? A devotee shouldn't be working in a slaughterhouse. Why would a devotee work in a slaughterhouse? And if there's a good government, there wouldn't be any slaughterhouses at all. They would be encouraging people to be vegetarians, or they would make some concession that some animals may be eaten, but certainly not cows, which are beloved by Krishna and which give us wonderful milk. But somehow we find that the world is going on, and by tricks of chance, by providence, it's really by karma, and it's really but karma is so complicated, the intricacies of action and reaction, that nobody can understand exactly. You know, we have astrologers who can, you know, look into the crystal ball of time and you know, predict things, but it's always like sort of through a glass darkly, isn't it? I mean, you'd never go to an astrologer and he said, you know, if you put all your money on, you know, such and such a horse in the seventh race at Aqueduct, you're going to make a lot of money. Or buy Oracle stock. It's going to go up next week or something. They don't give that specific thing. They give some, you know, this may be a good time for you to engage in investment activities or something like that, because it's always a little bit, you know, sort of more. Well, it's not always. I mean, there are some that can be very specific and precise, but the idea is that karma and the way karma interacts and everything, it's very complex. But somehow or another, we may see that, let me just finish this point, that we may see that a devotee is somehow engaged in a sinful occupation or has some. And Krishna even did that. In the Mahabharata, Krishna told Yudhishthir to tell a lie. He told Arjuna to shoot Karna when, under the rules of chivalry, you know, he should have offered him time to get his chariot out of the mud or something like that. But Krishna said, no, don't, you know, do it. Some people say that. How is it, why is it that God is doing immoral things, you know? I'm sorry, you had a point?
Maybe you were saying it, too. I'm not trying to take over from your talk.
No, that's
interesting, because a lot of stuff is always going through my head. There's, and maybe you've elaborated again on it. There's always the middle ground, but there's kind of two ways about it, where you have an elevated soul that comes like to be a prostitute to alleviate those that are at that lower level of only opening their heart up to that level. And then there's some that karmatically are there because they need to get out of it for whatever. That's the Lord's business. Krishna's business.
It may be that because of something you did in the previous life, you know, that your fate is, you have to become a prostitute and undergo the suffering life of a prostitute for one lifetime. Or one time King Indra was cursed to become a pig, you know, and who knows how the tricks. So this is the tricks of chance of fate. Yes, go ahead.
It could also be the circumstances from a practical standpoint that maybe this was the only occupation they could get. Mm. And they have to make a livelihood, a living. Circumstances were such that this is what they had to take on.
Yeah.
It could be that. Whether that's karmic, it could be karmic, one never knows. And so there could be these reasons. But I wanted to, on this point also, raise another question that in Shastra, when we talk about karma and things, they mention karma, vikarma, and akarma, that karmic activities prescribe duties. Vikarma is sinful activities. And akarma, of course, is doing things that does not lead to bondage. You are, as such, there is no sinful reaction. But it talks about vikarmic activities, sinful activities. And in that sense, it says that those who engage in sinful activities are going to go down to the lower of the lowest planets, going down to the hellish planets. Could we then say that these people who, by their circumstance or karma, engaged in apparently sinful activities, slaughterhouse or prostitution, if you will, because they are devotees, are as such saved from going down to the hellish planets? That
yes.
There is salvation there?
If they're devotees, their future is very bright. And if they're devotees, they're not, even though they appear to be performing sinful activities with their body, they're not they're not devoted to sinful activities, but quite the opposite. They're like this, the stories, and there are stories about holy prostitutes. You know, there's a famous story where a Brahmin lives near a prostitute, and every day he sees her and he thinks how sinful she is. And she thinks, you know, oh, how fallen I am, and there's such a holy Brahmin, by force of circumstance, I have to do this to earn a living, to support my children, whatever. But oh, Krishna, save me from the sin, right? So then, at the time of death, then the Brahmin was ending up. He was being dragged into a new body and dragged lower into lower planets, and he saw the prostitute was being, brought to the spiritual world, and he was complaining that how come to Yamaraj or whatever. She was always humble and she was always praying to Krishna, and you were always puffed up and you were always thinking you were better. So, but what was that? I'm sorry, what was the point I was... Yeah, if you're chanting the holy name and you're feeling genuine desire to please the Lord, like we were saying earlier in the class, all the rules and regulations are meant ultimately for this principle of remembering Krishna. And this should not be misused. We can't say, yeah, the rules and regulations are just for remembering Krishna. I feel like going and getting drunk, but it's okay because I'm going to remember Krishna, you know. No, you have to follow the rules and regulations. You have to follow them. There's another verse, there's a corollary verse that says that so-called bhakti that's not in accordance with the scriptures, the Shruti, Smriti, Purana, Di, Pancharatrika, Bhatinvina, it's a disturbance to society. Just like there are many sahajas that say, well, you know, it doesn't matter what sinful activities you do because you're remembering Krishna, then it doesn't matter. But the actual fact is that... that, you know, if one is really a devotee, but sometimes we still have bodies, we're still acting with bodies, and so if we feel it's genuine and sincerely, we're doing the best we can, and we're trying. So we should be careful not to judge each other. I mean, I think that's part of the important teaching of this verse, that, you know, we should be careful not to feel superior to other devotees who may, you know, sometimes we see a devotee and he joins the Hare Krishna movement, and for 5 or 6 years, they're like the most enthusiastic and learned and saintly and pious devotee. And then something happens somehow or another in their maybe they commit some offense or whatever, but somehow their progress is derailed for a while, and they become, surprisingly, they go back to material activities. And there's one in the Lilamrita, there's one story where this devotee, he was a sannyasi. Prabhupada initiated him as a sannyasi, and then later he fell down. And he came to visit Srila Prabhupada. He was riding his motorcycle. He had a big beard, and he was riding his motorcycle up to the temple. And Prabhupada said, please come back. You know, you're my disciple. You're a sannyasi. Please come and stay. And he said, no, you know, I like to play my saxophone and smoke marijuana and whatever he was doing. And when he left, this lady, devotee, disciple, told Prabhupada, Prabhupada, it's amazing that a big devotee like that could go back to material activities. And Prabhupada said, no, it's really amazing that any of you are staying. But sometimes we see that the devotees who are very, very advanced devotees, and then they're acting like ordinary materialistic people again, but we shouldn't judge them. And sometimes they'll come back and be devotees again, and then maybe they were devotees in a previous life, and so we should be careful to understand. We don't really know the position of all these people that come in touch with this movement. It's a very interesting movement, and a lot is here. And we should be careful not to feel superior to anyone. On the other hand, then we have to manage things correctly. So when there really are discrepancies, someone may have to be removed from their position or, you know, from their service and things like that, so that it's run right and efficiently and correctly. But we shouldn't have the attitude of, because these are also anarthas, to desire fame and to feel superior And to think, oh, I'm so much better, is an anartha. And offenses to Vaishnavas may be committed that will check our progress like that. So this is important. I thought it was interesting. I just wanted we should end, but I wanted to make a comment about how Prabhupada translates 9:32, which is a famous verse: "Mang hi partha vyapashritya yepisuk papa yonaya striyo vaishyastata shudras tepi yanti parangatim." You know that even those who are born in as women, as shudras, as vaishyas, and as papa yonayas, even they. If they take shelter of me, they can approach the highest destination. And then the next verse he says, then what to speak of the saintly kings and the pure Brahmins. And yes, go ahead.
So, there's one that you mentioned about trick or chance. I think if we look at it, we should look at it like the Lord, Prabhupada is saying worst come worst, by trick or by chance.
Yeah,
so by
worst
choice,
comes to worst.
Nobody makes that. I mean, by willingly, nobody makes that choice. But worse come worse, if somebody's involved, even by trick or by chance.
Somehow or another.
There are people who exploit others also. So those who have this exploitative mentality, so they'll trick them into this kind of profession. And sometimes those who are tricked into this profession, they may tell somebody else that, okay, I am kind of comfortable now. So by chance, this is the starting point for the other person who is joining.
I think that we shouldn't get too. I don't think we should get. The idea is that somehow or another, someone may be. Sometimes a great devotee may be found then to be born as a muchi who works with the leather as part of their. You know, or I mean, there's so many examples in the scriptures, and I know examples from in Krishna consciousness life. Sometimes a big sannyasi is later, somehow or another. Now he's a transvestite and he's living in the Tenderloin in San Francisco. I've seen these things in my lifetime, and it's important to remember that somehow or another it's still their great souls connected with the Sankirtan movement. But on the other hand, we shouldn't lose our discrimination that what is pious and pure life and what is degraded and sinful life, we should be able to distinguish and discriminate, but we shouldn't judge devotees. And sometimes you will find that a devotee who is living in a degraded condition or an apparently sinful way, actually in their state of their heart, as she was saying, you know, that we if we have that spiritual vision, that like Prabhupada would judge us what according to our potential, what's the state of our heart, we might not be able to see that state of the heart. We should be careful not to have these material things. Radhanath Maharaj came here and gave a class in 2006, I believe, in August, and he spoke a lot about Hayagriva Prabhu and how Hayagriva, and he took sannyas. He was speaking on the verse that said that even a little advancement in this path saves you from the dangerous type of fear. And it's this fabulous class. It's on our website. Everyone should listen to that class 10 times. And he talks about how Prabhupada started the movement and how Prabhupada was so enthusiastic when even some people came to the class. You know, he said Prabhupada would write in his little journal, you know, I gave a class on Bhagavad Gita and 8 people came and they liked it. You know, and Maharaj was saying that nowadays if I come and give a lecture and only 8 people come, I think, why did I even go there? You know, but Prabhupada's mood was that, you know, he was accepting everything, and somehow or another, through those days, he was struggling, and he met this man, Hayagriva, who helped him start the movement and helped him and typed up his manuscripts and did all this menial service for him. And he was an English professor, and he was able to do these things. But then later, he fell into some abominable activities. And whenever Prabhupada was around nearby him, he would tell devotees, oh, bring him to me, you know. And whenever he would come, he would feel very humble and embarrassed. Oh, Prabhupada, you know, I can't. But Prabhupada was always very affectionate to him, to Hayagriva, and always thought of him as his son. It wasn't like he thought, oh, he's done pious activities now, I reject him, I don't want to see. Like my family, my father's family is Jewish. I had one great aunt, my grandfather's sister. She married a non-Jewish man, and her father, the rest of his life, he said, she's dead. He said Kaddish, like this funeral ceremony, and he wouldn't tolerate even to hear her name spoken and would never speak to her again in family circles and things like that. But Prabhupada wasn't like that. Oh, he broke the rules now. It's, you know, I mean, you can imagine that in devotional service also there's a reason for being strict. And Lord Chaitanya wouldn't see Chota Haridas, you know, because Chota Haridas had broken the vows of sannyas. So that's there. But Prabhupada's mood was to accept everyone and to have this affection and encourage. Prabhupada has come to save the most fallen. So people were doing, you know, fallen things, drug things, sexual things, all kinds of things. And yet Prabhupada was not rejecting them, but asking them to please try. And so when he, I forget what it was, but before Prabhupada passed away, he said something about Hayagriva. He also said something about George Harrison. I mentioned George a few times in the class, that was there in Radhanath Swami's class, that he gave a ring from his finger and he said, give this to George, you know, because Prabhupada was grateful. And Maharaj was saying that this gratefulness of Srila Prabhupada is actually a reflection of Krishna's gratefulness, of Krishna's heart, and the way Krishna, he appreciates. We're stuck in the muck of Maya, and if we can do a little bit of devotional service, Krishna recognizes that. He sees that. He accepts it anyway, regardless of, you know, where it's coming from. He accepts that devotional service. Devotional service is that high. It's the greatest thing. It's you can't compare it to anything material, and if anyone has done any devotional service, they have to be respected because of that devotional service, regardless of their apparent material condition. But I wanted to say that this verse, when Sri Dayananda Maharaj was here a few weeks ago, he was talking about how when Prabhupada translates, he translates according to the mood of the verse. And there was, you know, a year or two ago, there was some devotees were arguing, oh, did Prabhupada translate it? Because he said Papa Yona, he said those of lower birth, women, Vaishyas, and Shudras, but that's not lower birth. There was an argument. Some other sannyasi had made an argument, and devotees were all arguing on one side or the other. But the Prabhupada is translating according to the actual mood of what Krishna is saying. That, yeah, if you, doesn't matter if you're from a sinful Papa Yona, a sinful womb, lower birth, but if you're a devotee, then you should be respected as a devotee. And one should. It's one of the anarthas that we were talking about before, that not understanding the position. I'm trying to remember that I was just talking earlier in this class today. I was talking about Chandramouli Swami's class, and one thing he said is, a devotee, you should never think of a devotee, oh, here's an American devotee, he's a Russian devotee, he's an Indian devotee. Devotee is transcendental, so you don't think in terms of we may say, oh, he's coming from this family or that family, or he's coming from this country or that country, but really a Vaishnava is something beyond that. So I thought it was interesting the way in this purport Srila Prabhupada translates this verse very freely. O son of Pritha, even the low-born Chandalas and those who are born in a family of unbelievers and even the prostitutes shall attain perfection. He's taking very, you know, I mean, it doesn't, there's no, in the Sanskrit of the verse, it doesn't say that, but Prabhupada knows what Krishna is actually saying, in the mood that Krishna is saying. So these purports by Prabhupada are his emotional ecstasies, and his translations of these verses should be respected. And, you know, what he's saying, that 932, Mamhi Parthavya Pashritya, Krishna is saying that even prostitutes shall attain perfection of life if they take shelter of unalloyed devotional service to me. Because in the path of devotional service, there are no impediments due to degraded birth and occupation. The path is open for everyone who agrees to follow it. And so, yes, there may be butchers and slaughterhouses and, you know, soldiers. In modern warfare, there's so many horrible things going on. And, you know, but if someone is somehow or another, they've become obligated and they're impressed into military service, or even they enlisted and then a war starts, and they don't, and then their superior officer, you know, tells them to kill women and children, and they can't, you know. I guess the idea is, well, you have to refuse and let be court-martialed or whatever. You know, the Nuremberg trials, you know, they said that these people who are engaged in war crimes couldn't defend themselves by saying, but I had to follow the orders of my superiors. But the point is that by trick or chance, somehow or another, a devotee may be engaged in some mistake, but it should be regarded that it's very temporary, because the power of devotional service is so strong that in the next verse, kshiprang bhavati dharmatma shashvach chantang gacchati kaunteya pratijanihi name bhakta pranashyati. He said that very quickly they'll attain righteousness, and he says, oh, you know, Sanupritta declare it boldly that devotee, say it. My devotee never perishes. Name bhakta pranashyati. My devotee is never destroyed. So a devotional service is that strong that it transcends these qualities.
I thought of another word which I think you also referred to, which may be relevant for the discussion, the shloka book, page 38, which is the from Bhagavad Gita 240. Neha bi krama nasosti pratyavayo na vidyate swalpam api asya dharmasya trayate mahato bayat. In this endeavor, there is no loss or diminution, and a little advancement on this path can protect one from the most dangerous type of fear.
Yeah, that is the verse that Radhanath Maharaj was giving the class on that I was talking about. And then everyone should go listen to that class, really. And then in that class, he said in the very next verse is that one has to be vyavasayatmaka buddhir ekeha kuruna, one has to have that one-pointed determination. So he says, you know, on one hand, Krishna is saying even a little advancement saves one. And then the next hand, he's saying, well, this is a path of total dedication. And he told a story of how one devotee in New Vrindavan told Prabhupada, but Prabhupada, you know, what if I took initiation, I vowed to follow these four regular principles, but because of weakness, I'm finding that I'm not able to do it. And Prabhupada said, weakness, rectify it. And it was very heavy, you know. So anyway, everyone should listen to that class. It's such a marvelous class. You could hear a pin drop as Radhanath Swami's classes are. He's a great transcendental personality. But every line, there's full of humor and life and juice and stuff. And it was, Satyadeva and Vaisheshika had asked him to speak on that verse, 240. And he spoke on that verse and he told the story of how Prabhupada started the movement. And he told the story of Hayagriva and how Hayagriva eventually took sannyas. A lot of devotees thought, Hayagriva, you know, he's doing all these horrible things, you know. But then Radhanath Swami was there when Hayagriva had been asked by Srila Prabhupada to take sannyas. And he told, I mean, I could tell that, I know the class, I could tell you these funny stories, but we're getting too late. But there was a time when Hayagriva, when Prabhupada wanted Hayagriva to take sannyas, and Hayagriva knew that Prabhupada was going to ask him to take sannyas, and he thought, I'm too fallen, how could I take sannyas? So, you know, he was a professor. He was very good. He spent a few days because he knew Prabhupada was going to ask him, and he made all his arguments, you know, for social reasons and ethical reasons and this and that. And he was going to, I think that's okay, that was it. So he was going to say how he couldn't take sannyas. So then he went there, and Prabhupada asked him to take sannyas, and he said, Prabhupada, how could I? No, I'm getting the story wrong. You have to listen to the story. He was going to be president of New Vrindavan, and he didn't want to do that. And then so Prabhupada asked to see him, and he said, there's something you can do for me. And he said, what's that, Prabhupada? And he said, you know, you should take sannyas. So then that, like, totally freaked him out. How could I take sannyas? He was prepared to argue why he shouldn't be the president of New Vrindavan, but then Prabhupada told him to take sannyas, and so I really muffed the story. You got to listen to the class. So then he was, you know, how could I do that, Prabhupada? I have too many desires. Oh, you can be purified. You know, you go on chanting Hare Krishna, you can be a sannyasi. So then, you know, he was just totally terrified, and Prabhupada said, well, there's something you could do instead, if, you know, otherwise. And he said, what's that? And he said, well, you could be president of New Vrindavan. And he said, okay, Prabhupada, I'll be president of New Vrindavan. So Prabhupada defeated him. But then later he was feeling that Prabhupada had asked me to take sannyas, and I never did. And so in Bombay, much later, after Prabhupada passed away, he took sannyas, and he was dying. He had bone cancer. And he was in great pain. He couldn't even walk. And Radhanath Maharaj went and carried the danda to give to him from the guru who was initiating him as a sannyasi. I think it was Kirtanananda. He didn't say in the class. And when the danda came into the room, he could see how Hayagriva felt, like this was like Prabhupada had walked into the room and he was so respectful and he was feeling like, oh, Srila Prabhupada, I wasted so much time in my life. I could have done so many things for you. I could have done so much preaching and helped, you know, distribute literatures for you and so many things, but I wasted my time. And he was feeling, and Radhanath Swami said that he, you know, knew Hayagriva at this time, and he could guarantee us he watched him go back to Godhead and leave his body. And he said, so we should be careful, you know, not to judge some devotee, even though they may be apparently in a fallen circumstance by trick or by chance. Sometimes these things happen. Either sometimes they're a pure devotee, but they're being forced by circumstance to do something impure, or sometimes they're a devotee who started their devotional service but gets dissuaded from the path and somehow is engaged in some temporary activities. Bless you. And but we should understand that we should respect all devotees, and because it's also a sign of our respect for Krishna and for Radharani, you know, for the personality of devotional service itself and how supremely powerful that devotional service is, that we should always respect anyone's devotional service. Gadadhar Pandit one time went to a Muslim officer and, you know, he said, he came there to beg from him that he would chant Hare Krishna. And I think it was Chand Qazi. It was some Muslim Qazi or something like that. Magistrate, judicial officer. And he thought it was some political thing that they want to, you know, the Hindus want me to come out and say that I, you know, to chant Hare Krishna officially somewhere and stuff. So he said to Gadadhar, you know, okay, tomorrow I will chant Hare Krishna. And Gadadhar started dancing and he said, why tomorrow? You just chanted today. So the idea is that anyone who chants Hare, we're going to go out there and we're distributing books and things, and anyone who takes a book and talks about it and reads a line and touches it and appreciates it, they're actually starting to engage in devotional service. It's that powerful and it's that important. And we should appreciate that anyone who's even able to come and take... Sometimes someone seems like that they're so qualified in every way, but when you approach them to take a book, oh, no, I'm not interested. I don't have time for that, you know. And like Prabhupada said, you know, what we should be amazed is that anyone is doing it. Not that it's so amazing that these people are so puffed up that they won't even talk to us or they won't even touch the book, but it's amazing that some people are actually, you know, that Lord Chaitanya's pastimes are going on, that people are talking, they're looking at the book, and they're talking about Hare Krishna, Lord Chaitanya, Krishna, and this great, powerful purification is taking place all over the world. And so we're going out today, everyone, so many people are going on book distribution, and so therefore we should end the class so that people have time. We have to do Guru Puja and take prasad and get out on book distribution. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Hari Bol.